The Preston and Steve Daily Podcast is presented by Acme. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors, and the official supermarket of MMR's Preston and Steve Show.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news updates with Kathy Romano.
All right, today is Friday, May 31st. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, a Delaware woman is sharing her agonizing story of a vacation attack. Tammy Lawrence Daly says she was brutally attacked at the Majestic Elegance all-inclusive resort in Punta Cana in January. She went to get a snack at the bustling resort when she heard footsteps. He just plowed into my back, and I remember the grunt he made when he hit me. It's in my nightmares, she said. The attacker pummeled the mother of two for hours. She could feel the bones in her face cave and her teeth break. This was hard to look at a picture of her, the poor thing.
I was watching the video, and she was brutalized.
Yeah,
brutalized. And so it left like in a foyer or a doorway.
Yep.
And they were looking. Oh, my God.
He, at that point, began choking me, strangling me, she said. The mother of two went in and out of consciousness. She says the assailant then dragged her limp body into a dark crawl space inside the five-star resort. It was pitch black. All I could think of was my husband's going to find me dead with my head bashed in. Lawrence Daly suffered a broken orbital, broken hand, nerve damage, and other injuries. She's had a half a dozen surgeries and procedures since the attack. It was the second night of the trip when she was beaten. She believes the attacker was ready to pounce. She says that she fought with all of her might to stay alive. She said he used something to wrap around my throat and basically strangle me again. At that point, I knew I was dead, she says. But she had the will to live. The family says after an exhaustive search spearheaded by her husband and friends, not the resort, Lawrence Daly was found. Her husband, Chris Daly, feels guilty that he didn't go with her to get the snack, but the resort was busy with other travelers. He choked up when recounting finding his wife after the search. This was the hardest part, Chris said, seeing her from the back. It didn't look like her until a friend said, those are her shoes.
Couldn't even recognize his own wife.
Nope. The mother says that one of the maids walked up and put a robe around her, and she said that she'd never forget that because to her that translated that she was safe.
You know, occasionally you hear stories like this at resorts, you know, where people are attacked and you sort of dismiss them. But hearing this story, I mean, you don't dismiss these people and what they went through, but they were talking about this. This occurs more than you would think.
Right.
Really?
Yeah. In some locations, and in fact, they're being very critical. Now, I don't know how it's going to shake out, but he said the hotel staff didn't really assist at all
in looking for her.
Yeah.
And it was inside the all-inclusive. Like, sometimes you hear when they leave the resort, like, don't leave your resort. You're fine if you're here.
Right.
It was a five-star all-inclusive resort in
Punta Cana. When you stay at those, when I stay at those, I mean, I get this kind of like king of the world type.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You're impervious.
I don't need money. Drinks are on me. Yeah. I'll be right back.
More jerk chicken.
45 margaritas, no problem. I mean, you feel you're paying a good amount of money for great service and just to be and do whatever you want to do.
To be indulged.
That I wouldn't even think about my safety,
yeah.
You know, over some during a stay like that. Wow.
The family says the Dominican police investigation was inadequate at best. She recalls her attacker wearing a Majestic Elegance uniform, but she never saw his face and no suspect has been identified. She says she's warning travelers who go to lavish resorts. It's not safe. It's not safe for women to walk alone. Walk with somebody, the mother says. 6ABC says that they tried to comment the Majestic Elegance resort and local police, but have been unsuccessful to get a comment. The Delaware Valley was hit with another round of severe weather yesterday afternoon and evening, and it left more damage to the area. A tree crashed into a home in Drexel Hill, ripping off a chunk of the roof. It happened at 1 a.m. Friday in the 1200 block of Drexel Avenue. Fire crews and emergency responders were called to the scene. Two women and a child were inside the home at the time, but they were not injured, according to a witness. The tree, which has been on the property of an adjacent apartment, took down power lines when it fell. PECO cut out power to the home and nearby businesses. This week's back-to-back-to-back storms have caused damage throughout the area. Now, the National Weather Service is saying that an EF0 tornado did touch down on the border of Bucks and Lehigh counties at about 3:15 on Wednesday. The National Weather Service said that it will continue to survey the damage throughout the area. Firefighters came to the rescue of at least one driver stranded in flooded waters in Winfield Heights. It happened yesterday about 6 o'clock on the heels of the torrential downpour. A flash flood warning was in effect last night until 9:15 for Philadelphia, Bucks, Delaware, and Montgomery counties.
I'm not sure if I heard this correctly, but this morning, 1,000 trees estimated down in, around Harleysville. Did you?
I heard that there was a lot of stuff, damage in Harleysville, but I personally didn't see any on my drive this morning. It doesn't mean that, I mean, these were so intensified, small cells that came in and they just were bang in and out. We were at the YMCA last night in Harleysville, the Indian Valley YMCA.
It's fun to be there.
Get yourself clean, get a good meal, all
That's
kinds
right.
of stuff. No, but anyway. And cue the music.
You know what? Why did I not have that on the
radio? Sorry, don't worry
That's
about
crazy.
It.
That's crazy.
But we were in the pool area, and they if there's any lightning, you got to get out of the pool. They had us get out, and we watched that storm come through, and it was crazy for about 3 or 4 minutes, and then it just made its way out.
Yeah, by the time it
was very, very intense.
By the time it hit us, so I was upstairs, you know, and I heard what sounded like a train. And that's how quick. Did you hear that? How quickly the storm came through, and then a couple minutes later, nothing.
Yeah, I was in a building that had, I guess, like.
That was it. It's hard to do the letters with scuba tanks on your back.
Right. You were doing my scuba refresher course last night at the YMCA.
You know what, though? Driving home, Jason had swim lessons yesterday. Driving home, we drove through like a wooded area, and fortunately there was no houses or anything, but there were a number of trees. I actually pointed it out to him. I said, you see all of that?
Really?
That's from the storms. Yeah, they were, ripped out of the ground.
Yeah.
Two New Jersey natives are among a talented group of students who are sharing in the Scripps National Spelling Bee title. Each winner will receive his or her own trophy, along with a full winner's prize of $50,000 in cash. The 8 co-champions spelled the final 47 words correctly, going 5 consecutive perfect rounds for 3.5 hours.
That's pretty amazing.
Right? 13-year-old Shrithinka Patty of Cherry Hill is among the winners.
Oh.
Another winner is 13-year-old Christopher Sario from White House Station, Hunterdon County, which is located right across from Allentown, Pennsylvania.
Cool.
Yeah, very cool. Right?
Smart Larry Jr.
Love it, yeah.
Very smart. All right, in sports this morning. Dakota Hudson threw 6 effective innings. Jed Jorko hit a 2-run home run, and the Cardinals beat the Phillies 5-3 yesterday afternoon at the ballpark. With the win, the Cardinals avoided their first sweep against the Phils since 2006. Despite the loss, the Phils are still in first place in the National League East, 3 games ahead of the Atlanta Braves. Tonight, they begin a 6-game road trip through Los Angeles and San Diego and will play the Dodgers tonight at Chavez Ravine. Jake Arrieta gets the start, and game time is set for 10-10. Pascal Siakam scored a playoff career-high 32 points, and the Raptors had an impressive NBA Finals debut, beating the Golden State Warriors 118-109 last night in Toronto. It was the first ever NBA Final game outside the United States. Steph Curry scored 34 points for the Warriors, who were beginning their 5th straight NBA Finals appearance. Had won all 4 game ones in the last 4 years. All of those had come at home, but this time Golden State doesn't have home court advantage. Game 2 is Sunday night in Toronto, which is hosting an NBA Finals game for the first time after the Raptors entered the league as an expansion team in 1995. And the Stanley Cup Finals will continue with Game 3 tomorrow night in St. Louis. The series between the Blues and the Boston Bruins is tied at 1 game apiece. For the Blues, it will be the first time in franchise history that the team plays a game in June. The puck is scheduled to drop at 8 o'clock, and that's what I have for you this morning.
All right, thank you very much, Kathy. Concerning the storms that came through yesterday, somebody texted and said, la 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 la, storm! Oh, my. And now it's not working, Case.
Oh, how about that?
You son of a bitch.
Yay!
We're having some technical malfunctions during that entire news break. For the most part, Casey and I were whispering to each other, trying to figure some stuff out.
Yeah, and during the middle, all of a sudden, my headphones got extremely loud.
Yeah.
Really?
We were having some headphone switching issues, so sorry about that.
There was a performance in here yesterday.
I know, yeah. So
chances are that's what caused some of these things, which is frustrating.
We'll try to get it worked out while we can. In fact, we're having another technical issue. So Marissa handed me this note that says, coolest teachers. The coolest teacher announcement will be the next break because the text voting hasn't quite finished processing yet. So she's working on getting that together.
Maybe there was just such a massive outpouring that it threw the system for a loop.
Might have been. Council Rock North in Newtown is the one that was up for voting. So we'll see. And by the way, it's so funny. Yesterday, thank you for covering for me yesterday, guys.
Oh, no problem.
Well, I had to leave the show early. I got texts from people that are like, are you okay? Because I didn't even say anything about why I was leaving. But no, I'm fine.
We had you pregnant.
Thank you. So
well, that was the idea. And people just
and that's a happy occasion.
Yeah, that is good.
No, I had to go get an allergy test done. And I went down to Penn. And it's one of these things that takes like 5 hours to do. You got to sit there. And they give you this medicine a little bit of time.
It's part of your search for an ibuprofen substitute,
right? I'm looking for an anti-inflammatory. I'm allergic to anti-inflammatories. I can't take ibuprofen. Advil, Aleve, aspirin, none of that stuff.
Nothing.
Yeah, it gives me really nasty hives and itchy and makes me feel bad. So I'm allergic. It could be dangerous to me. So good news, I can now take this medicine called Celebrex, which is it's not a preferred anti-inflammatory, but it does help for swelling and things like that. Which is awesome. So now I have an alternative.
To find out about Celebrex, watch CNN, MSNBC, or Fox News.
They run spots for it all the time for old people.
Any news channels, it's always the same thing.
But it was good to get that done. So, yeah, nothing major. I need it. And unfortunately, they only run those trials during the week at a time when that falls within the show. But I had to go get it done because... listen, man, I got aches and pains. I got stuff to deal with. So.
I feel pain.
So I've got little tears in my shoulder, and I'm working on that rehab and that. So it was nice. But anyhow, got it done, finished, ready to go.
You got good news. It was worth it.
Yep, absolutely. So good news as well for today's program, because we are going to have somebody on the show we've been wanting to get for years.
Yeah.
And he is going to be in our studio. He's performing at the Delaware Theater Company for Middletown, the show. Which is the same show that we had both Cindy Williams and Dee Dee Cohen in for a little while back. That was at the Bucks County Playhouse.
Yes.
And now it's playing at the Delaware Theater Company, and Adrian Zmed.
Is
going to be in our studio today.
He's the perfect kind of guest for us.
Totally.
T.J. Hooker, Dance Fever, Grease 2,
Bachelor Party.
I mean, come on.
Yeah.
I mean, we had somebody have a Adrian Zmed tattoo right here in our studios.
Did we think
to
invite that person in this morning? I don't even know who that person is.
We can show the picture.
We got to find the pictures because it was a spot on tattoo, a realistic photographic tattoo.
He'll either love it or be chilled by it. Yeah.
I think he might be a little scared by it, but that's okay. So Adrian Zmed's coming in around 9 o'clock today, which is going to be very cool. They also have comedian Chris Redd, who's going to be performing at Punchline.
Redd is great.
I'm really excited to meet him. I know you guys are pumped about Adrian Zmed, but I'm a huge Chris Redd fan. I'm psyched to have him on the show.
In the movie Pop Star, Never Stop, Never Stopping.
Yeah.
He plays an up-and-coming rapper, and he's effing hilarious. And he's great on SNL.
Excellent. So he will be in today, and we have a few other things going on. We have a meet and eat today. Sterling Pig Brew, he's going to be in. We'll get you the details, maybe some giveaways. I'll find out about that in a little bit. So let's take a break, come back in a moment, and then hopefully we'll be able to announce the coolest teacher of the year and pick the next school for next week. Oh, and by the way, Casey wants me to give away some beer. Not
early.
At 6:22 a.m. We'll take
beer is good and stuff.
We'll take caller 22 then at 215-263-WMMR, and I will give you a case of Yards Philly Pale Ale. Before you get tan, get pale. Philly Pale Ale, it's a classic sessionable brew with clean hop finish. And you can find Philly Pale Ale at Founding Fathers Sports Bar and Grill in Center City. 215-263-WMMR. We'll be right back.
Like the Preston and Steve Show podcast? Check out MMR's other audio on demand at WMMR.com or on the MMR mobile app.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
So what if a guy threw a shoe at me?
Hey, by the way, so, you know, from time to time, we our studio kind of gets lent out to other things that take place around here, interviews, performances, stuff like that. It's a very large studio, and we're happy to do it. And while unintentional, sometimes when our studio is used for other purposes, technical things get reconnoitered and we have some issues. So we're kind of dealing with that this morning, just a heads up. And so we are not going to be able to do the coolest teacher yet. I thought we'd have that ready by now. But Marissa's having to, rather than using a computer program to reconcile everything. She's having to go through and count.
She's so using an abacus, which is it's an amazing thing to see.
Wait, so her stuff's affected over there too?
Yeah, that's affected too. I don't know. Listen, it just, you know, maybe it's coincidence. I don't know, but stuff's not working, and people were in our studio yesterday. But nonetheless, we're working on it, so we'll get to that a little bit. We'll make the announcements. We'll draw the next school. We need to do that soon because kids are on their way to school, and I want to make sure that they know that their school is up for
it. Can't we draw?
I guess we
can
could.
Draw.
We can still draw.
We can draw, we should do that.
Now, am I up for the drawing?
Yeah, we should do that because I want to make sure that as the kids get into school,
stretching.
That they're aware.
Steve is stretching.
We can't draw without
We
this,
can't
though.
Draw? Get your fingers ready.
We gotta have that.
All right, we're going to have Steve draw the next school. So actually, we need the drum roll. There you go.
I got you, bro.
All right, so we're taking the Chinese container of goodness over to Steve. That's what we have, the slips of paper that have the school names on them. He's digging deep
into diddling.
It. Go all the way deep, Steve.
Go two knuckles deep.
Now pull it out.
Now what institution of learning have I pulled out?
Let's see.
Ladies and gentlemen, I don't think we've ever done this one.
All right.
Henderson High School of Westchester.
Hey!
Henderson High School of Westchester.
Henderson.
Does that sound familiar? Have you ever done that?
I don't think so. I don't think so.
We have. You know, I was the cheerleading coach at Henderson for a season.
What?
Why? How?
Because I was attending Westchester University.
Oh, okay.
My neighbor, I lived in the town of Westchester. My neighbor was...
Yeah.
She was one of the coaches, and she asked if I wanted to help out.
No kid.
Yeah.
All right.
It's our second Westchester High School. One of the first ones we pulled was Ruston, remember? Because I was the newest high school in the area. And so Ruston exists because Henderson got overflowed.
First Westchester School was Ruston. Second was Trombone.
Now we have Henderson. All right. So, Henderson, it's up to you to let us know who the teacher in the past year has affected you in a positive way. Been the coolest teacher, in your opinion.
Yes.
So, text the word teacher followed by the teacher's name to 39333. We will give you the weekend to vote on this. You got lucky in that regard. And we'll reveal who it is on Monday. Granted, if our equipment is working, we'll find out about that.
We remain ever vigilant.
And we'll make an announcement a little bit later on when we get the votes counted up for Council Rock. So that's Henderson in Westchester. Get on it. Make sure you let them know in the front office. Maybe they can get the word out as well. But it's for students to vote. Let us know which teacher was the coolest. And you can check any of our social media or website for information and the format on how to vote. So please get to that. All right. In the meantime... anything you want to point out, Nick? You've got their information up.
Oh, no notable alumni.
Okay.
Oh, wow. Well, maybe we're seeing the beginning of a notable alumni.
Yeah, exactly. The school hasn't been around that long, right?
Can I be a notable coach?
Ruston was around is the newer one. Henderson is the one that has been around for a while.
Jeez, we'll get it together then.
David M. Rodriguez was the commander of the United States Africa Command.
Okay.
That's cool.
Well, there's that.
Kerr Smith, the actor.
Peter Liu, the physicist.
Oh, it says they once had a very manly-voiced female cheerleading coach.
All right, I'm going to do the stupid question. We're going to give away a $25 Wawa gift card along with a lanyard and Wawa t-shirt. I'm going to do a multiple choice. I never do multiple choices, but I couldn't figure out a way to make this one work. When I get a multiple choice question, sometimes I will tweak it so I don't have to do that, but I'm going to go ahead and let this one fly.
All right.
So you got a 1 in 3 shot of getting this right. Which of these fresh fruits, if placed in Jell-O, will prevent it from setting?
Oh, yeah.
Do you know the answer?
I can't remember which one it is. So no, I think I do.
If this fruit is placed in Jell-O, the Jell-O will never set.
That's correct.
Huh.
Yeah, but I don't know if
like
it's...
Like the sun on the British Empire.
I don't know if it's just one fruit that does that or if there might be more than one. Yeah, Kathy, you're right.
Yeah.
Kathy?
You know what?
Well, let's run with it.
All
right, what fruit? What fresh fruit... If placed in Jell-O, will prevent it from setting. 215-263-WMMR, and I was not aware of this. Huh. All right, I have a lot of birthdays. Yeah, okay.
Well, you know what?
All right, that's okay. All right,
well put.
All right, so.
Jeez.
You understand what I'm saying.
May 31st, a lot of birthdays. So let me go through these as quickly as we can. Colin Farrell has his birthday today. Great actor, Minority Report, Crazy Heart, Saving Mr. Banks, Dumbo, a lot of stuff.
Really liked him, then didn't like him, now I like him.
He's 43 today. The great Clint Eastwood is right on the edge of 90. He's 89 years old today.
And like the Stevie Nicks song.
Still just on fire. On the edge of 90. Edge of 90.
He has replaced Steve Jobs in my all-time get for an interview, Clint Eastwood.
Because he's still alive?
Still alive. Can't get Steve Jobs. Could, but this wouldn't be much of a conversation.
And just his directing. I mean, his acting career is voluminous, but just his directing. Million Dollar Baby, Gran Torino, American Sniper, Sully. These are just
The Unforgiven.
I mean, just amazing. What a talent. 89 today. Brooke Shields has her birthday today.
Incredible.
She's 54 years old.
She honestly was, when she first came on the scene, obviously a beautiful young girl. And there was controversy. She was in that movie Pretty Baby. But over time, she actually became a very good comedic actress. And she had her, was it Suddenly Susan?
Yes.
And she's done a whole bunch of stuff. She was actually last, she had a recurring white trash character on the middle.
Okay. She's 54 today. Leah Thompson. Always loved her.
Caroline in the City.
And Back to the Future. Yeah. And a movie that I love is Some Kind of Wonderful.
Oh, I love that
Amanda
movie.
Jones.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's 58 years old today. Wow. Chris Elliott. We've spoken to Chris over the years a few times. He's great, man.
One of my all-time favorites. Yeah. One of my, you know, he was the one who brought a lot of the ultra-weirdness to the David Letterman show, like the man under the stairs.
Yep, I loved it.
I didn't get it at first.
Yeah.
It took me a while on Chris Elliott, and then now I do, and I find him hilarious. But when it first started on Letterman, I was like, what the hell is going on here?
Oh, my God. Get a Life was just, especially the second season with Brian Doyle Murray, effing hilarious.
Is that available anywhere?
Yes, it is. I have the collection if you want it.
No, not on DVD. I mean, digitally, is it?
I have it on Viewmaster.
Oh.
Steve, the man under the stairs, I remember there was another bit he played on David Letterman. Was it the it wasn't the Running Man, or it was something like that.
Where he would just start running. He'd be sitting. It him? He'd be sitting in the audience, and they'd point him out, and he'd just start running for no reason.
Well, he would run, and he would punch someone on the way out of the studio.
The panicky guy? Is that who it was?
No, the fugitive guy.
The fugitive guy. He was always being sought for something.
He would be like a cameraman, and they'd say hi to him, and all of a sudden the music would start playing, and he would look around. Run. And he would punch someone in the face on the way out of the... I loved it. He's 59. Tom Berenger.
Another really solid actor.
Celebrates his 70th. The Big Chill. Platoon. Major League Training Day. A lot of great movies. So happy birthday to him. Joe Namath.
Wow.
By the way, Tom Berenger is 70 today. Joe Namath turned 76 today.
Namath was, he was the perfect blending between a charismatic star and a star athlete.
Yeah.
There's, a lot of really, really great documentaries about football, and there was one in particular about...
But Elvis will always be the king of rock and roll.
There was one about him in particular where there was a police officer, it might even have been John Timoney, who saw him coming out of some New York hotel at like 7 a.m. drunk with this, with like girls on either arm. And he had the AFC Championship or the Super Bowl that day. Right?
Oh, my God.
Right?
So really?
They're like, oh, my God.
Well, how's he going to play?
I'm betting against the Jets. And they won.
The Jets won.
Like, yes. So, I mean, he was out partying all night long and then still won the game that night.
Well, you know what? What got him sober was on TV when he wanted to kiss that reporter. He was drunk and he just goes, she's asking him questions about the game. And he just goes, I want to kiss you.
Do you ever?
And he got sober after that.
I think I've known a couple of people who have seen video or heard audio of themselves when they were drunk. And that was enough to make them, I'm done. Because they don't realize how they got.
Yep, 76 years old today. And then the last birthday, Nick had pointed this. I think this is one of the greatest in-studio interviews we've ever had because it was so unexpected. Daryl McDaniel of Run DMC is 55 years old today. And that guy was so compelling. He had such a great, positive, wonderful message.
There was nothing he wouldn't talk about. He was candid about all of the ups and downs of his life. But his inspirational message was so authentic that people were calling in and emailing for days after saying it really helped change their view.
Yeah, a hell of a guy. So happy birthday to Daryl McDaniels, 55 years old today. All right, let's see if we can get an answer to the stupid question. When this fruit is, let me see here. Which of these fruits, if placed in jar, we changed it. It's not multiple choice. What fruit? If placed in Jell-O, will prevent it from setting. That's what I'm trying to say here, people. I will go to Jimmy for the answer. Hi, Jimmy. Good morning.
Good morning, Gadzooks.
Gadzooks. All right. So, what fruit, if placed in Jell-O, will keep it from setting?
Pineapple.
Really? What? I would have thought something more citrusy.
And I always thought pineapple was kind of a staple in Jell-O.
They put it on top of it, maybe?
I don't know.
Have you ever tried it, Kathy, and have it not work?
No, I just, for whatever reason, remember that.
Okay.
Pineapple will not allow Jell-O to set.
Jimmy got it right. $25 Wawa gift card, Wawa lanyard, and a Wawa t-shirt, and could win a trip to the Wawa Welcome America July 4th festivities in Philadelphia. Visit WawaWelcomeAmerica.com to enter.
I watched a 10-minute video last night on this guy who... Yeah.
Really? You're kidding me.
No, he made his swimming pool into Jell-O.
Wow.
And there are very, very specific things while making Jell-O that makes it set. And that's why, like, trying to make a swimming pool out of Jell-O is so difficult because the water has to reach a specific temperature in the boiling process. And that also has to reach a specific temperature.
All right, let me ask you something, because the question I always had about that notion of filling up a pool with Jell-O. Does it remain sound if you're, you know, does the pressure of the Jell-O, do you have to have it reach a certain...
it has to be a temperature, right?
But I mean, still, Jell-O on top of Jell-O.
It doesn't matter. It's the whole gelatin thing, but...
I've always wanted to do that.
And at the end of the video, they show this little kid do a belly flop onto the Jell-O, and he doesn't move a stitch.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's really, really cool.
There's that scene in Claudia with a Chance of Meatballs at the swimming pool is full of Jell-O, and they dive in and just go like a couple of feet down, and I'm like, I want to do that. For some reason.
Wait a sec. Well, maybe that's something we follow through on.
Hey, Disney CEO Bob Iger may pull his multi-billion-dollar studio out of Georgia if the state's new abortion law is upheld. The law, which was passed on May 7th, is set to take effect on January 1st, essentially banning abortions. On Wednesday night, he told Reuters, I think if it becomes law, it will be very difficult to produce there. I rather doubt we will. I think many people who work for us will not want to work there, and we'll have to heed their wishes in that regard. He said, right now we're watching it very carefully. If there's speculation that it could be enacted sometime after the first of the year, I think it's also likely to be challenged in the courts, and that could delay it. We're being careful and cautious about it. But if it becomes law, I don't see how that is practical for us to continue to shoot there. Now, Disney shoots most of their films in Georgia.
Well, the tax credits they give, are huge.
Yeah, the Marvel films, like Avengers Endgame, they're shot there.
Yep.
And the film industry generated $9.5 billion. There was a total impact of that much money in Georgia in 2018 alone.
When did they move from North Carolina to Georgia? Because it used to be North Carolina.
It was North Carolina. It was Georgia. They still do a lot in Vancouver, in Canada. They do a lot of shooting up there.
But Georgia in particular, because also The Walking Dead is shot there, too.
Netflix shoots a ton of stuff there.
And in fact, this week, Netflix chief Ted Sarandos also spoke out against the bill. So that could impact the state's economy, and we'll see if that ends up happening. Lamar Odom has firsthand experience trying to keep up with the Kardashians.
Oh, boy, does he ever.
And he provided insight into Tristan Thompson and Khloe Kardashian's doomed love affair. Odom, who recently published the bombshell memoir Darkness to Light, in which he detailed his drug addiction and sometimes dysfunctional marriage, to Chloe, tells us...
I like to watch Lamar Odom play Xbox while his giant wife yells at him. Isn't that so nuts?
Tells Us Weekly that he actually has some sympathy for fellow NBA star Thompson. He says that no one is prepared for the Kardashian-level fame.
Aw, I feel so bad for him.
He said, I don't know where Tristan's from, but that's a hard lane to step into if you're not really prepared for that. He said, I'm not sure if anybody can really prepare for that if they're not sat down and told how it's going to be, like all eyes on you. He said, you can't even understand. Thompson first made headlines for reportedly cheating on Kardashian the days before she gave birth to their daughter, True, of course. Odom continued by saying, it's too bad that he had to hurt my lady like that. That woman like that.
You hurt it bad.
It's too bad. He also said that Kardashian sent him a friendly text about one of the stories in his memoir.
Rotten hell.
No, he said she talked about one of those stories that I told in the book about her coming to the hotel and putting her hands on a girl. She said that she didn't even think that I remembered that story. So in Darkness to Light, he wrote that Kardashian pounced on a stripper that she found in his room one time.
I'm going to kill you. I'm going to rip your goddamn head off. I'm his woman.
She barely remembers that.
The name is Chloe Gajira. Kardashian.
Sticking in the family, Kylie Jenner has displeased the masses by uploading a video of herself washing with the new Kylie Skin Foaming Face Wash.
Oh, that would piss me off, too.
Well, she only did it for about 10 seconds. So Jenner debuted the and sold the skincare line out last...
I use it every day myself.
...last week and shared a clip which she recommends using morning and night.
I rub it vigorously into my beard.
Fans lashed out immediately, claiming a 10-second rinse isn't enough to remove makeup.
What are people freaking out about?
Others noted that when she wiped her face dry, foundation residue transferred onto the towel,
Come on.
Proving that her cleaning method was fraught with error.
It is fraught.
In fact, one person tweeted, you wash your face for 2 seconds.
By the way,
you're using a filter. You still had makeup come off on the damn towel. Learn how to wash your face. God damn, how hard is this? Basic hygiene, y'all.
Wow. Wow. Who wrote that?
I don't know who it was.
Somebody who doesn't care about the Lord, taking the Lord's name in vain.
It was Bernie Sanders.
What?
Wow, plus she's got flowers all over her face.
Now, that's the point. They make a good point. She's using this filter that's obscuring parts of her face with these stupid Snapchat-ish flowers.
Well, there's a simple solution here. Don't follow her and don't buy the product.
Exactly.
Her features on her face are becoming more sharp, it looks like, in this particular video. So.
It's hard to tell, Preston, because so much of it is filtered.
Like, I know.
Is that a sharp feature or is that a fake flower?
It's a good question.
The question of the ages. Yeah. Sharp feature or fake flower?
Now, speaking of more Kardashian, you know...
Crap.
...connections, Jordan Woods has revealed that she'll be making her acting debut on the upcoming season of Grown-ish.
Do you know what she's playing?
Uh-uh.
Margaret Thatcher.
No, what? She's not.
She is.
She shared the news via social media, writing a caption which said, this was the first role I've ever booked.
Y'all.
And I was nervous at first, but I got past that and had the best time.
Hey, guys.
Take risks and stay consistent to your journey. You never know what the world has to offer. There's the journey.
Yeah, take advice from this woman.
According to People, Jordan will play the role of Dee, a freshman student who is described as a sweet soul with a soft-spoken and sincere vulnerability.
I am so on board.
What does vulnerability mean?
I'm totally vulnerable.
The next, the new season of Grown-ish premieres on June 5th on Freeform.
So Grown-ish is the one where the oldest daughter from Black-ish goes to school, yes?
I don't know.
I believe that's the case. Yeah.
Well, she's going to be in it.
Honestly, you know, sometimes you need a swig of hooch to make you believe the stories you're reading.
You know what? There. That's my favorite part of, like, The View and the talk is...
I hate that. When they pick up their coffee mugs. Today we have a couple of guests on. Judith Light will be here to talk about her new Broadway production. Knock it off!
I try to find moments.
No, you're fine.
When I can drink
but
coffee.
But they make their mugs.
Yeah.
When
it's
you
a
do
bit
it,
of a prop. It's real, Preston.
It's real, man.
Yeah. When you take a swig of your Dunkin' Donuts coffee, it doesn't seem like it's, you know, sponsored or paid for.
It's legit.
I see what you did.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, mm-hmm. We all know that you run on Dunkin'.
I run on Dunkin'.
I saw you filling yourself up at Dunkin' the other day at the service station.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. They have a special pump right there.
Absolutely.
For me.
It's Preston.
Brie Larson is strong with the Force. The Captain Marvel star visited Disneyland's Star Wars Galaxy's Edge on Wednesday night and is now sharing all of her fun fandom moments on Instagram.
It looks so cool.
She wrote in the caption of a photo on Thursday in which she posed as a Jedi, similar to Obi-Wan Kenobi and Qui-Gon Jinn, writing, "Serving Jedi realness this summer." On a second photo, the Oscar-winning actress held a blue lightsaber while locked in a heated battle with a friend who held a red one. She also had a fun time taste-testing blue milk and trying out the cantina found within the new Disneyland park. She also made her own lightsaber and rode on the new Millennium Falcon ride. Harrison Ford, Mark Hamill, and Star Wars creator George Lucas all reunited on Wednesday night to launch the new Disney attraction. The new land, which opens today in Anaheim, features rides like Millennium Falcon Smuggler's Run, which takes place in a replica of the iconic spaceship, and Star Wars Rise of the Resistance, which brings guests through a virtual battle between the Resistance and the First Order.
Have you guys heard Mark Hamill's impression of Harrison Ford?
It's great.
Spot on.
It's fantastic.
Spot on. He's a really good voice actor.
He is, yeah. Casey, he did it the first time that I heard it or saw it recently was on...
Colbert?
No, on Seth Meyers. And it's just very accurate.
Is it better than Russ Marquand, if you remember that
guy? I do remember Russ Marquand. It's different, but I think it's a little cooler because it's Mark Hamill doing it. It's Luke Skywalker, you know?
So Iger began the opening celebration by introducing Lucas, who called the Millennium Falcon replica amazing. He said it's something you couldn't dream about 20 years ago. It'll change your life. Hamill reminisced about his experience with the franchise and said, look where we are today. We got our own land. Star Wars to me has always been the gift that keeps on giving, and the reason is because of you. He said, your parents tell you not to speak to strangers, yet everywhere I go, everyone treats me like family. He said, the stories fans tell me are so heartfelt. So that's a place I'm going to have to get to at some point or another.
So I wonder if there are plans to open one at Disney World.
There is.
I would hope so.
A Star Wars thing?
Because his counterpart's in Disneyland.
Well, because
there was.
It's opening in August. There's a whole Star Wars park world.
Okay.
In fact, I started talking to the people at Disney about getting us down there.
Yeah.
It's out of my hands. It's all in Eric Simon's hands now, guys.
All right, but it is in someone's hands?
It is in somebody's hands.
All right, let's see if we
can get
it.
Opens in August, Case.
Yep.
Snooki, welcome to her third child with Gianni Laval. The pair welcomed a baby boy named Angelo James.
I'm here.
I was talking to J-Well about this at the
end. Were you really?
Look at you palling around with J-Well backstage at the barbecue.
You're
virtually a member of the Jersey Shore yourself.
What's up?
What'd she say about it?
Just that she's ready to pop any second now. She's like, oh, yeah, my best friend's about to have her baby. Uh-huh. And I go, oh, my God, so you and Snooki, you're totally, like, best friend status? And she's like, yeah. Right. I don't know why I got, like, so
fanboyed out.
Well, because actually, Snooki was my favorite.
You're more a situation fan.
I did not care. I like Vinny. Guadagnino, I think is his name. I like him and Snooki, then Vinny, then Pauly D, and then the rest of them could jump off a cliff. J-Well, I've come around.
Man's got to have standards.
Yeah, yeah. So she wrote, or she tells People Magazine, so thrilled to welcome baby Angelo into our little family. He is so sweet and spitting image of Lorenzo as a baby. Gianni and I can't wait to see how being outnumbered turns out. They're happy and healthy, mom and baby. Angelo weighed about 7.5 pounds, so new baby.
You know, it's funny because you know how names can just conjure memories and Angelo, for me, will always be a kid in elementary school who, in third grade, crapped himself while doing show and tell. At the front of the class, crapped himself. That's what Angelo means to me.
Do Angelos sometimes go by Angie?
Yes.
For short?
Yes, sometimes, yeah. Ange. Yeah.
Andy, my friend Angelo from college, who didn't crap himself, he goes by Andy.
Andy?
Mm-hmm. Andy or Anthony Hopkins.
Okay, or Sir Anthony Hopkins. Bachelor alums Ari Leyendyke Jr. and Lauren Burnham welcomed their baby girl on Wednesday.
Wow.
Yeah.
They actually pulled it off. I thought he was too stupid.
No, no.
Which hole is it again?
It's my year.
They had a baby.
He loves it. I love you. You're like a little person.
They have named her Elise Wren.
You look, you got a penis coming out of your belly button.
It's not the umbilical cord. What's your name?
It's spelled A-L-E-S-S-I. The first name.
We named your Alita, battle angel.
Elisa, I guess?
What is it?
Alessi? A-L-E-S-S-I. Alessi?
Alessi.
Yeah.
Yeah, Alessi.
Alessi Wren.
It's Betsy. I can't spell.
All right, so wait, what are their names? The Bachelor and
Ari Leyendyke Jr.
Okay.
And Lauren Burnham.
So do you remember this was the guy who told the original selection he had made had to tell that incredibly awkward video of him walking around the house explaining why he changed his mind and then wanted to go with the other one.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And I think summarily, the country just decided they dislike, or at least fans of Bachelor Nation hated his guts.
So the baby weighed 6 pounds, 13 ounces, measured 20 inches long, and she's doing fine. Paris Jackson is talking marriage with her boyfriend and bandmate, Gabriel Glenn, according to Page Six.
Man, what kind of money does she have? Is she able to access the Jackson fortune at this point? I know she's looked after, but
I mean, because
sign prenups.
Because remember, they had people that managed the estate
and
all that. So I don't know how you parse that out. Did Michael have to have wording in his will?
I bet it's in a trust. And, she's never going to hurt for money, but she probably has to do something to earn her own income.
Yeah. So she's talking marriage, maybe. The pair aren't planning on getting married soon, but are hoping to head down the aisle long term, according to the paper.
Measure if Michael was still alive. You something you want to ask me? Yes, I'd like to have your daughter's hand. All right.
Yeah.
You sure you can handle it?
No.
Marriage is a tricky thing.
Let's see what else I have here. Baby Archie is headed to America, according to Us Weekly. Duchess Meghan Markle is planning on coming to the States with her and Prince Harry's son.
God, I hope if they have a second kid, they name it Jughead.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
It'd just be awesome.
Yeah.
These are children, Archie and Jughead.
Mm-hmm. As of now, the plan is for this to take place sometime over the summer, the insider says. She'll see her mom.
Are they doing radio?
Maybe they... They'll do a tour.
And we're going to some place called Ballasinwood. I don't know.
Ballasinwood.
Isn't it Welsh, Ballasinwood?
Yeah, it is.
You should know this.
You shut up.
Movies are opening today, and I've got a little insight as to what you might want to get out and see in the theaters. And I'll talk a little bit more until our music intro.
Wait till you
ready
hear this.
Sorry,
music.
Casey. I didn't.
No, you're good.
I didn't let you know we were ready to go on that. But here it is. What is one going to see this weekend? We have a few different options, and I'll tell you in a moment. All right, we'll start with Godzilla, King of the Monsters.
Yeah.
It's an action, it's directed by Michael Dougherty. Stars Vera Farmiga, Ken Watanabe, Millie Bobby Brown, Bradley Whitford, O'Shea Jackson, who we had here in the studio to promote that. The members of zoological agency Monarch face off against a group of enormous monsters, one of which is the mighty Godzilla. It's rated PG-13. It's 2 hours and 12 minutes long. It's a pretty long movie.
I saw it.
Yeah.
I give the monsters and the battles an A. Loved it. The humans, eh. You don't care that much about, but you're really not there to see the humans anyway. So go watch, in classic Toho fashion, Preston, some of the famous monsters do battle like you've never seen it before.
All righty. Its score on Rotten Tomatoes so far is a 52%. Also opening this weekend is Ma.
Ma!
A horror film directed by Tate Taylor. Stars Octavia Spencer, Luke Evans, Juliette Lewis, Allison Janney, to name a few. It's about a middle-aged woman who forms a creepy relationship with a group of teenagers. Rated R, hour and 39 minutes long, 58% score so far. It looks interesting.
So what this is sort of based on, I was reading about the impetus for this, these stories that pop up about these moms holding parties where, you know, they invite the kids over and booze and so on and so forth. Sure. So that's what she does, but she has a wildly more homicidal edge to her.
Right. It's an interesting concept.
Yeah, yeah.
So we'll see if it's any good or not. And then one last movie to highlight, and that's Rocket Man. Biopic drama directed by Dexter Fletcher, stars Taron Egerton, Jamie Bell, Richard Madden, Bryce Dallas Howard. It's the story of the early years of musical legend Elton John. Rated R, 2 hours, 1 minute, and the score so far, 89%.
Wow.
That's solid.
That's excellent. And they're raving about Taron Egerton's performance. And the fact that he's singing, and that was the part of Elton John's wish, that they would get someone who could sing, and he actually learned to play the piano to some degree.
Yeah.
The authenticity's there, so you gotta love it.
I definitely want to get out to the theater and see this movie.
So there are fantastical elements in the movie, though, where they sometimes go into song and it becomes this sort of trippy sort of thing.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of a cool approach as well.
Yeah, that's definitely a different take on the biopic, which is nice. We're gonna be able to do clips.
Yeah, we have them in the Immersive Cinema to the Zeta system.
We're having some technical problems, so our normal formats of playing stuff is going to be a little off today. But let's get to this. Blind Spot follows Jane Doe, a character with no recollection of her past other than the hints her tattoos give. Here Jamie Alexander talks about performing practical stunts for the show. Here we go.
I'm like, yeah, cool, something besides punching somebody. But, like, I honestly just expect it now, so I don't think... The only thing I would probably be nervous to do is an underwater stunt because I'm not a strong swimmer.
What the hell are you talking about?
Season 4 finale of Blind Spot airs tonight, 8 o'clock, and that is on NBC. Here's the next clip. We're just talking about this. The much-anticipated sequel to 2014's Godzilla features humanity relying on the monster to defeat a global enemy. In this clip, Millie Bobby Brown explains why the message of the movie was impactful to her.
I loved the underlying message for conserving animal resources, understanding that we're actually the monsters of this planet and we need to help save it, you know. One of the lines in the movie is, our planet will perish and so will we.
Shut up, dummy.
Godzilla King of the Monsters is in theaters today, by the way.
You forget she has that accent because of Stranger Things.
Yeah, yeah.
But she, she's good in this.
Is she good?
Yeah, cool. Listen, it's an unenviable task to be the humans in a movie with the rest of the cast being CGI rendered skyscraper sized monsters.
Yeah, yeah.
It's hard not to get lost.
Okay, and that's what I got for you. This just in.
What?
I can announce the winner of Coolest Teacher for Council Rock North.
All right.
Apologize for our tardiness on this, but we have some technical issues. And please pass the word in case the kids are already in school. We want to make sure that it gets through the hallways and they find out that the coolest teacher at Council Rock North is Mr. Phil Mann.
Wow.
Mr. Mann.
If you had said McCracken, I would have known it was a...
Phil McCracken? No. Phil Mann, M-A-N-N. He is a math teacher, from what we understand. And he teaches honors geometry, accelerated algebra 1.
I'm tapping out.
And accelerated geometry as well.
So, I was always in the decelerated program.
Yeah, precisely.
Yeah. Yeah. I was taking decelerated math, decelerated science.
Yeah. Honors geometry. All that stuff. He's a very well-liked teacher amongst the student body. So we are happy to reward Mr. Phil Mann at Council Rock North with the Coolest Teacher of the Year Preston Steve coffee mug and a $50 whatacrockmeals.com gift card for some goodies.
You got to figure with those heavy-duty subjects, he's got to be mega charismatic or else he took them to Vegas for a week.
Maybe that happened. So we are happy that Mr. Mann won, and we would love to hear from Mr. Mann. It's so funny to say Mr. Mann. So
why didn't you just pick up that phone, Mr. Mann?
And let's hear from you if you'd like to call in and just jump on the air with us real quick. We'd love to say hello. And if you're already starting school, then we understand. Maybe we can talk to you next week. So with that, we have Henderson High School in Westchester. That is the next one that we've selected randomly to vote. And you can text the word teacher followed by the teacher's name to 39333 to place your vote. One vote per phone number, students. Make sure you let us know. We're going to take a break. We'll be back in a moment. We have in our studio today from Saturday Night Live, Chris Redd will be stopping by.
Awesome.
And a person we've been waiting to get for years, Adrian Zmed.
Adrian freaking Zmed.
Will be in our studio today, too. So we're going to have a good Friday morning. Stick around. We want you to be a part of it. Hey, gang, we need your blood. It's time to roll up your sleeve for the I Bleed for Preston and Steve Blood Drive, Saturday, June 15th.
Last year was the second largest blood drive in the nation, and with your help, it'll be number one this year.
So we're headed to the Greater Philadelphia Expo Center in Oaks for this year's drive with kids' activities from Aim High Studio and Paint a Treasure Ceramics, plus Rita's Water Ice and Alex's Lemonade Stand.
The Red Cross is always in need, especially leading into the summer months, so make an appointment now at WMMR.com.
All donors get the newest Preston and Steve t-shirt and this year's pint glass from Window Nation.
Hundreds of donors will be randomly selected for free tickets to one of these concerts at the BB&T Pavilion, the Smashing Pumpkins and Noel Gallagher on August 8th,
or Alice Cooper and Hailstorm on August 16th. Tickets for these shows are on sale now at Ticketmaster.com.
Our 14th annual I Bleed for Preston and Steve Blood Drive
from the American Red Cross Penn Jersey Blood Services Region
and 93.3 WMMR, putting Philly first.
Coming up on our show a little bit later on, Chris Redd, Saturday Night Live, is going to be performing a punchline. He's going to stop in about an hour from now. And Adrian Zmed, a guy we've been waiting for years to come by this show, is going to be here this morning, which is cool. So we'll have him in around 9 o'clock. I think I have some things in the junk drawer I need to clean up.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, can we do that
first?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I didn't even know.
Listen,
I apologize.
It's Friday. Things get ahead of you.
Well, why don't we do this? Why don't we talk to our coolest teacher from Council Rock North High School? We mentioned his name earlier this morning. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Phil Mann to the show. Hey, Mr. Mann.
Hello. Good morning.
Hey, congratulations, first of all.
Thank you very much.
Congrats. Listen, so did you know this was going on? I've forgotten to ask some of our teachers this. Did you know this contest was taking place?
I knew yesterday at some point I got a an email from some colleagues that it was going on. They actually made an announcement at our school at one point also.
So they made the announcement, and then did you do any campaigning, or did you just let the chips fall where they will?
I just let the chips fall as they will. I did not do any campaigning.
All right. Well, we were noticing that what you teach is some pretty heady stuff, which would not usually be the kind of things that students really go crazy for. So what do you attribute your victory to?
Whew, I don't know. Yeah, I teach math. Usually we get a pretty bad reputation.
Yeah, you just don't teach math. You teach, like, advanced, very complex math.
Yeah, a couple of those courses. But yeah. I don't know. I try to have fun with my kids and try to keep it lively and engaging. And, you know, hopefully that's the case.
Well done.
I got an email from somebody who was a teacher who pointed out how difficult that is and just wanted me to highlight that. And I think that's part of the reason that we do this is that, you know, it's not easy to connect all the time with students, especially of that age, and to just... not pass along knowledge, but also guidance and be a friend when they need it and so on. So it's really cool that they respond. You've got to feel pretty great knowing and getting that kind of feedback.
Yeah, I mean, I have the best job in the world. I have great kids, and, you know, it's new and different every day, and we have a lot of fun.
How many days left till you're finally out of there? When is the last official day of school at the school?
We are late. We're out June 21st.
Whoa! Dude. Don't they know you're the coolest teacher?
Yeah.
Maybe I'll get an extra day here.
Yeah, 21st. Wow.
That's deep into the summer, as far as I'm concerned. Wow. All right, well, listen, as a just a gesture of thanks from your students, we are going to give you a Coolest Teacher of the Year, Press and Steve coffee mug, and we'll give you a $50 gift card to whatacrockmeals.com. And just be happy in knowing that they appreciate what you do.
Well, thanks, man. I really appreciate it.
No problem. Congratulations, Mr. Man.
Yeah, Mr. Man.
Bill Man. Math teacher at Council Rock North. And the next school is Henderson High School in Westchester. So that is who we are asking to text in. And let us know who the coolest teacher is. So text word teacher followed by a teacher's name to 39333.
It's a good thing. Sorry, I figure most schools will be over by the end of next week, right?
The 14th is when our kids are done.
All right.
Yeah graduation for us is on the 12th. So it's
all right.
Still a little ways to go.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Now can I claim?
Yeah, please do.
Yeah, buddy.
All right. Very rare moment. Audio junk drawer.
Oh, my God. Oh.
So we are going to actually, we're having technical problems, and these pieces of music are just getting cut off.
Yeah,
and,
but you're getting a sample. It's like a Whitman sampler of sound effects.
The new Rambo trailer came out yesterday.
I watched it like 5 times.
I decided to have Marissa grab some audio pieces from this so we could kind of dissect them and play them on the air. So when does this open? I didn't even check to see. This
is September 20th.
This is the teaser trailer. I guess a longer form trailer will be coming down the road.
It's basically just a little. So he's teasing you.
I don't need to see anymore. I'm good.
I know.
What I needed to be, because I loved the last Rambo.
Right.
So violent. A guy, he portrayed him as a guy who's just completely tortured.
Yeah.
And but at the end, he put his issues with his father behind him, and you saw him going back to his ranch here in the States. And that was the last scene in the movie where he's walking back.
I watched the trailer yesterday, and I know you said you loved it. I don't think we need this.
No?
No. Preston. This is Grandpa Rambo, man. It's not like it's ever been rooted in any scintilla of realism.
Yeah. Oh, no.
But this is just, I think it's gone way overboard.
It was way overboard 3 movies
ago. I know.
Dude, he blew a guy up with a bow and arrow in the second.
I know.
So, given that, it looks like it's on track to deliver. Any Rambo movie like this is him setting the traps.
Yep.
Blowing people up.
There's a scene they show in this where he's surrounded by a gang of like 20 guys.
Right.
And this is old man Rambo.
17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23. Yeah. All right, I can handle this. So, I mean, after all, I'm only 76 and a half years old.
Let's play some clips, and we can't pause these along the way, can we?
Why not?
You know what, Preston, we can.
All right.
Wait a second. I just saw Jerry Abate in here.
I know, but he hasn't fixed it yet.
If I put them over here, we can pause them.
All right, well, you will have to pause.
Pause them!
Okay.
Coming back from Vietnam, tell us you can't pause audio effects. It's ridiculous.
All right.
Spitting on us. Tell us you can't pause an audio.
I'm going to take control. What am I doing?
Wait, just press the buttons. Well, press on the...
Press the buttons!
I've watched people I've loved die.
Just wait. I'll pause it. Yeah. I'm trying. Case, I've got it.
Okay.
Thank you.
His growl is just so pronounced now. It's almost unhearable.
Some fast with a bullet. Some not enough left to bury.
He's really breathing.
I was like a chocolate blizzard with extra sprinkles and a few extra jimmies and a hot dog and some French fries.
What do you say? At a certain point, it just becomes a subwoofer.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because I didn't actually understand what he had said.
I said that as a kid,
he was ordering a blizzard.
I was ordering a blizzard at Dairy Queen.
Yeah. Chocolate with sprinkles?
Jimmy's.
Jimmy's, okay.
Yeah.
I'll kill you where you stand.
He's from Philadelphia. Right, I didn't.
Philadelphia. All right.
Here's the next clip. Here we go.
All these years, I've kept my secrets. But the time has come to face my past.
You know it's secret.
No.
At night when I go to sleep, I put on a beauty mask. And I exfoliate. It's a regimen. It's what I do to stay pretty.
That's the big secret?
It's a secret!
Okay, all right.
And if it comes looking for me, they will welcome death.
Come on.
I love it. I love it.
No. If they come looking for
revenge.
You
need to understand, I'm only 83 and a half years old, and I'm 5 feet, 6 inches tall. If you come looking for me, I will punch you in your shin. I will use an olive fork to kill 29 criminals.
Yeah. Okay. One more clip from this. Here we go.
I want them to know that death is coming.
Who's? I'm curious as to who is going to be coming after him this time. And
the Shriners.
And why?
Well,
no one knows why, but for some reason the Shriners are coming after him.
They'll show up on go-karts.
Right,
yeah.
With the fezzes.
With the fez hats on.
I see your fezzes. I know you're coming after me.
Yeah.
You do all that philanthropy, but now that's coming to an end. I will tie your little fezzy strings together. Years I've kept my secrets.
Oh, my God.
There's a look of him frozen on the screen here. It's a classic Stallone.
Yeah.
I guess it looks like in the scene he's drawing a Bowie knife down on somebody
with beautiful, beautiful veneers.
I was going to say,
teeth look great. Medicare, man.
In Vietnam, they had the best dentists ever. Listen, I want two things: Zoom whitening and close the gap.
Zoom whitening.
I want veneers, a crown, and I want an implant, dental.
And he'll get it too. All right.
It was the greatest day of my life. The day my quip came in the mail.
Oh, my God. You know how many people he could kill with a quip?
With a quip, I could kill a lot of people.
Yes.
It's got a motor in it and changeable heads. So if I wear it down after killing 10 people, I'd just pop another head on.
That's right. All right. Let me go back to the last bit of this clip. Here we go.
Yeah, there's nothing they can do to stop it.
Yeah, all of a sudden it's The Walking Dead.
He starts whistling the baby elephant walk.
Oh, my God. Wow.
Nothing's gonna stop it.
Nothing. Death is coming, and it's coming in a rental car.
They say things that doesn't make any sense.
Right,
you know?
Right, exactly.
You can't stop this storm. This storm is on the horizon, and the horizon is in the distance. If it was closer, it probably would not be the horizon. And you can't even argue that, because that doesn't make any sense. I'm 93 and a half years old. I wear a colostomy bag, but it's rigged with explosives. I have platform heels on, so I look taller.
Yeah. So
I will gut you like a fish.
He never goes looking for the fight. The fight always comes to him.
The fight comes to me.
Mm-hmm. Although this one, it looks like he went and picked the fight.
I actually sent out an invitation. Yeah. It was an Evite.
Okay.
Oh, really?
At the top, it said, looking for a fight.
Yeah.
It's going to be at my ranch. I gave the date and time, but I got the date wrong, so I had to go back in. But I couldn't figure out how to edit the date, so I had to erase that invite and send out another one.
Does it bother you when people don't respond to your Evites?
It does,
yeah,
because it's very easy. It's just one click.
Yeah, and you can
Do you want to come here and get killed or what?
Yeah.
Are we going to do this or what?
Even a maybe is something,
yeah.
Right?
I mean, I put out, dear cartel members, I'm having a gathering. Won't you come and let me slit your throat? Please respond.
Oh, my God.
Is...
What?
Is he...
Yes, there will be food.
Yes.
Is he and, like, John... Are they... They're serial killers, are they not?
Well, listen, I think in John Wick 2, he kills over 200 people. But either you buy the Rambo stuff or you don't. And I do. I mean, Rambo, if they keep it off the charts violent, and it looks like they're going to do that in this one, because that's what was happening in the last one. But the fact that he was this tortured guy, I really loved it.
Now,
and listen, for him at this age to pull it off, to write it, direct it, and to do what he's doing, yeah, he's great.
They're gonna have to, though, for me, listen, to not believe it, because it's all unbelievable, but for me to buy into it a little bit more, they're gonna have to play on this age thing some.
So if he has like a
if he's able to, you know, climb the side of a building with his bare hands,
it's going
to
be hard.
Come on.
But what if he's like using a jitterbug phone?
The numbers are very large because it's hard to see. All right, I'm going to call the head of the cartel.
Yeah, that actually.
215.
Right. I might be on board if they do something.
Hello, I've fallen and I cannot get up. Death was going to be coming, but going to be a day or two. I fell in the bathtub.
Unfortunately, death is on hold for
death
now.
Death is not coming. I'm having my sit-down shower installed. Yes, hello, this is Rambo. I would like you to tell the invitees that death would not be coming today as I sprained my shin while painting the foyer.
Oh, my God. All right.
I've never seen one Rambo movie.
What?
Not one.
First Blood is great.
It's a great movie.
First Blood's
really good.
When they came out, I think the first one or two.
This is Last Blood, by the way, Nick.
Rambo Last Blood, which hits theaters on September 20th. But when the first one came out, I think it was rated R, and so I was not allowed to see R-rated movies when I was a kid. And then I fell behind, and I didn't understand the plot points, which obviously elemental to understanding Rambo.
Just see the last one, Rambo, and I trust, Preston, you saw it.
Gritty.
It's brutal.
It's very, very brutal, and it's, I like it better than two and three.
I agree.
But First Blood, I think, will always be my favorite one.
Yeah, no, Nick.
Well, First Blood is, again,
the fight came to me.
Yeah.
I was just going through town.
I was just walking through town.
You have a Dairy Queen.
He was looking for his old war buddy.
Yeah, that's it.
Right?
Yeah.
And he's on the edge.
Nick, it's a good movie.
It is.
And it's definitely... And David Caruso's in it, for
which
God's
one?
Sake.
Of young David Caruso. First Blood.
Okay.
Yeah, First Blood is the name of the movie, right?
Yep.
Right.
This is now called a Thin Anemic Blood.
Right.
Yeah.
I enjoyed First Blood.
Blood of my story.
Crestor.
Crestor. Rambo Crestor. Yeah.
Oh, my God. What were you going to say,
guys? I enjoyed part two. Part three, I didn't. When you went through that list of all Stallone movies, they ranked Rambo 3 ahead of Rambo 2, which I was...
No. Rambo 3 is borderline sci-fi.
Yeah. You can skip that movie altogether.
Rambo 2 is fun, but again, what?
Here's the definitive list. So it's First Blood.
Give the list and don't give him an order. You'll piss off Bill Weiss. Because he'll bring the storm. I fought in Vietnam, and my buddy was named Buffalo Bill. He'd been on radio in Buffalo. He was sort of metrosexual and gesticulated too much. He'd always draw the attention of Charlie when he started talking. He'd see his hands coming up over the bushes. And he'd be able to fix our position. And then I had to turn to him and say, "Hey, radio boy, do that again and I'll bleed you."
Radio boy.
Bill Weston and John Rambo.
I'm a little concerned about, I don't want to go up 50 clicks. Why don't you just stop at the hands? You're going to get us killed.
Bill gestures a bit wildly, and like you said, they'd get a fix on
I'll
you.
Cut your goddamn arms off. Learn to talk with your mouth.
They're out in the bush together. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
All right, so anyway, First Blood came out in 1992, and 85 was Rambo First Blood Part 2. 88 was Rambo 3. And then John Rambo didn't come out until 20 years after that, 2008.
All right, so wait, when was Rambo 2?
85.
85, yeah.
Okay. I was 10 years old. I saw that in the movie theater with my friend Patrick, and we both smoked cigarettes in that movie theater. I was 10 years old.
Bad boy.
I stole cigarettes from...
cigarettes. I was in the Running Away Club.
Wow. So I always take this into account.
I lost my good buddy in Vietnam. His name is Johnny Ding Ding. He tried to smoke a bamboo tree.
Those are the moments you remember. Yeah. The series. I initially, after First Blood, didn't buy into it, and then I revisited it, and yeah, I freaking love it.
All right. Anyhow, the movie comes out in September, and it's officially, it says the title here is Rambo 5.
Rambo 5, R-A-R-P.
And the tag is Last Blood. Rambo Last Blood.
Well, I'm going to burn this whole goddamn retirement village to the ground.
He's had it.
Yeah.
You see a guy go out and get into his golf cart and it explodes.
I guess I won't be seeing you at brunch.
Oh, my God.
The early bird special is death.
Oh,
I have an issue with you, Moish.
Oh, my God. All right. Well, I mean, we could just... I don't know if I'm going to be able to get into the junkyard now.
Oh, sorry.
No, it's all right.
I wrote down seven lesson questions during this break, so
all right.
We got a lot to choose from.
Wow. Okay. Well, let me make sure I get to one that I really want to mention. I'll go deep.
I can't wait for something new.
Something new?
She's not a fan of Rambo.
No.
She's too busy trying to figure out how to dim her lips.
Oh, now you got me back in.
Kathy's wearing very bright lipstick today. I didn't say anything about it
on the
air. She's
been tracked by NASA today.
It matches her belt and shoes.
Which is impressive. I love the way you accessorized your lips.
Thank you.
She looks lovely, too.
It's orangish red. Very bright lips. All right, well, this is a piece of fashion. So, Kathy, this will bring you
all
in.
Right, okay.
Out on the beach, there is something called now the towel-kini. Is yet another kini.
Does it simply look like a towel wrapped around you?
Let's find out, because I didn't read the article.
He doesn't know yet.
Conceptual designer Aria McManus.
Conceptual designers.
Invented the new beach outfit. It's basically a cover-up that one wears over their bathing suit that is a towel with arm, neck, and leg holes in it.
This is moronic.
It wouldn't be gender specific then, right? I mean, like
no, you're exactly right. What makes it a kini? You're basically it's a towel with a head hole and leg holes in it.
That's like saying that only a man can wear a slanket.
What's a slanket?
You know, the blanket with the sleeves.
It's like a snuggie.
A snuggie. Okay.
Snuggie.
When you sit there and you watch Rambo.
Slanket is the. It's like the cheap version of
the snuggie.
Of the snuggie.
It's a knockoff snuggie.
I have a problem.
Oh my
with calling
God!
It...
They're $200.
Yeah.
What?
So you have a problem with the price. I have a problem with them calling it a kini.
Here's what you do.
There's nothing kini about it.
Okay. Take a blanket, grab a pair of scissors.
Right?
Yeah.
Pretend you're making a ghost costume for Halloween, and you've got it.
Well, Steve, you're missing. That picture doesn't truly cover it because it does have formed like a crotch area. It goes. You'd have to see, Nick, you'd have to show him that picture.
It's,
check
out this it's one like on. A onesie with a cape.
Yeah, yeah, it's kind of like that. So it's a little.
Well, see, are you not, they're showing it up here. Are you not laying on a blanket when
no,
you
no,
lay?
No. Show him this
here.
One.
Look at this one
yeah,
over here.
Come over there. Yeah.
See, there's like, there's a suit, there's
looks,
arm holes and leg holes.
It looks like you've been glued to a wall.
Yeah, so anyhow. It leaves the back free for tanning.
Oh.
And the designer thinks it's nice
okay.
enough to wear around town, too.
I see what you're saying. Of course the designer does. She wants to sell them.
Yeah. Yeah, it's $199.
That's dumb.
That's
I'm not
ridiculous.
$200 for that.
Okay.
I can get sunglasses for that.
Yeah, totally, right?
Do you know what's...
By the way, man.
Yeah, what, man?
What?
I decided to go and buy a nice pair of sunglasses, okay? I needed a good pair of sunglasses. And sunglasses
it's
are not
highway
cheap.
Robbery, is it not?
Sunglasses are not cheap. They're like $200 if you want to get a good pair of sunglasses.
Yeah.
I got some Maui Jim sunglasses, which is great because they break. You send them out. They return them to you. No charge, right. 100%. I had them for less than a week, and I can't find them.
Oh, no.
I know where I put them. Somebody in the house picked them up, moved them somewhere, and I don't know where the hell they are. And I'm really pissed off.
Oh, your
about
son's
it.
Cruising around in his car in his new Maui Jim.
All right, so let me ask you. So I had to break myself of the bad habits, and so when I have a pair in the house, and I have a pair that's always in the holder in the car. So
yeah,
I make sure that
that's how you should do it.
That's how you should do it. So. And then there's one area, regardless, that I make sure that I put the... Because I've lost so many, because they're expensive.
Yeah.
And I do this. Or you sit on them.
I'm the grab them off the gas station rack kind of guys. I'm just here. These will do. I just need it to shade. That's it. I'm not looking to make a great fashion statement or anything. This time, I went into a sunglass store. I tried on a bunch of different brands. I found the ones that I think
you did the full deal.
Framed nicely on my face, and they're freaking gone.
The
man.
Reality is that you get what you pay for, right? So when you're buying the nicest sunglasses, you're going to have a better view. And Steve, I don't put my sunglasses in that little thing in the car because it scratches the lenses. I keep it.
Oh, mine doesn't. Mine's padded.
Yeah, mine's good.
So is mine.
I don't think so. I don't think so.
Is that where you keep your tacks, too?
No, I just think it's better to put it in the case that they give you and I put that case in the door. Yeah.
Every couple of years, my mom says to me, I want another pair of nice sunglasses. She, just like you, she loses them within, I give her a month. She won't make it through. I bought a pair for her for Mother's Day. She won't make it through the summer.
You know what I did? I ordered a pair of those tactical sunglasses.
Oh,
you
no.
see the commercials for them all the time.
You bought those?
Yeah, oh yeah. So you get the first pair for like $19.99, mm-hmm. and then the other 11 pairs you get for another dollar, which mm-hmm. really makes you question how good they're. Yeah. So the first, how can you afford to do that? But when I drive, like I have a heads-up display on my car, and it has to be like the more yellow-amber tint for me to see that
see
display.
Like, yeah.
Well, Nick, don't you have somebody you get free sunglasses from?
Yes. The guy named Chris, he works for a company called Canon. It's K-A-E-N-O-N. And
I know Chris, I fell with him in Vietnam.
He's come out to a few different charity events and stuff, and Chris is a good guy, and they used to sell them in Vietnam to Rambo.
We used to call them Shades.
What, that was the name of the guy?
That was
or...
his name.
Okay. Yeah, he knew Bill Weston.
He knew Bill Weston.
Well, tell this dude to send me some free sunglasses.
Okay.
And a sandwich. Send a sandwich.
No, I used to have a pair of Kenyans. They were very big. They were like the side, the arms on the side were very large.
Like old lady at a wedding glass?
Kind of like that.
But I had my eyes dilated.
I got specifically, they were frameless. If I wanted to wear them while playing golf, that wouldn't obstruct.
The specialty was athletes. So he would sell them to ball players, to golfers, because you need them a little bit differently if you're playing baseball or you're out on the course. They need to cover a little bit more of your face, really.
I've always wanted Larry Fishburne Matrix clip-on.
No, oh my God.
And they don't work.
Okay.
I ordered a pair once. They do not stay on your nose.
Yeah.
You start to sweat a little bit, pop right off.
Preston, I have a tip for you. Sorry, I have a tip for you. Off Saks, so like Saks Fifth Avenue, the discount version
right.
of that. No, the discount version.
Get your hand off my Saks.
You said Saks, Kathy.
That's what it is.
Yeah,
you can get discounted designer sunglasses there.
Okay. Off Saks?
Yeah.
Where is this now?
It's in the Metroplex next to Target.
Oh.
I can get you Oakley's half price.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Okay.
Yeah.
What?
I can get you Oakley's half price.
Joakley's?
No, no. Real Oakleys.
Real Oakleys. Yes. Okay, not Jokeleys.
Oh, those knockoffs?
Yeah.
Jokeleys?
Yeah. Yeah. We call them Folkleys, but Jokeley I like better.
Jokeleys was what we used
to
them.
When we would go up to New York every now and then, we'd go down Canal Street and I would stock up on cheap knockoffs.
Yeah.
Man, all
you get
the
a really
time.
Nice Rolex for $50.
Yeah, exactly.
and a great Panasonic TV.
Yeah. You know, ooh, is this a Sony?
If you go into those going out of business stores, no, this is legitimate Sony. yeah.
Lonnie Vuitton.
Yeah.
A lot of great.
Oh, this is Gucci. Don't you mean Gucci? No, it's Gucci.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, anyhow, the Talkini is the latest.
Very stupid.
It's not a Kini.
$200. No, all right. That's all I had. Sorry. It was just one audio piece,
man.
And the Talkini for the junk drawer today. But I'll have more to clean out in the very near future. We should take a break. We got a number of guests joining us on the program today. So we'll return in a moment. Got some bizarre foul stories that are on the way next. Stay with us.
That's amazing. The Preston and Steve Show podcast. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
All right, let's fire out the bizarre file.
Now, WMMR presents Preston and Steve's bizarre file.
All right, we're going to begin with this story out of San Antonio. There were multiple 911 calls that came in and revealed the dramatic chain of events at Methodist Hospital Medical Center. The 10th floor is full of smoke. You can hear one of the callers saying, "You can't even see down the hall. The smoke is that bad." Police and fire reports reveal that 70-year-old Robert Allen's heart had stopped at Methodist Hospital and a medical team responded. A defibrillator used by the medical team arced and a spark went off and ignited the oxygen in the room.
Oh, my God.
That had been accidentally left on. The dispatch operator asked the nurse reporting the incident if the oxygen is causing it. And the nurse replies, "We were trying to shut off the oxygen, but something ignited." The gentleman, Robert Allen, died after employees attempted to resuscitate him.
Jesus.
Employees interviewed by police said that Allen was dead before the fire had happened.
Claire!
Yeah, totally. That's what it was like. Police say that they observed burn marks on Allen's shoulder and back. Methodist initial statement said a small fire involving a piece of equipment occurred at Methodist Hospital.
They are going to give a full refund, though.
And that an investigation concluded there was no adverse impacts to patient outcomes as a result of this incident.
With all the oxygen stored in a hospital and all this sort of stuff, you know, it's surprising it doesn't happen more often.
Methodist officials did not say what equipment caught fire and did not acknowledge in their statement that a now dead patient was involved.
Jeez.
They cite the defibrillator as the cause of the fire as well as the reason for damage to the patient and equipment in the room. Over the past year or so, there has been an escalating war between monkeys and humans on the subcontinent.
Of course there has. I've seen the movies.
In October last year, a 70-year-old man was stoned to death by a troop of monkeys that had reportedly collected bricks from a building side and hurled them at his head. Even more distressingly, a 12-day-old baby was snatched from its mother's breast by a monkey.
We should raise you as a monkey.
In one bizarre incident, a monkey stole
Your name should be Caesar.
A monkey stole over 10,000 rupees from a house and escaped to a nearby tree where it threw the banknotes at passersby.
Let it ride.
He's making it rain. Another man died as a result of a monkey attack this month. Now, the escalation
Some
is
real. Violent-ass monkeys.
The escalation is real, says primatologist Iqbal Malik. He's told Gizmodo, the rhesus macaques, generally speaking, are a harmless and peaceful species. They live in troops, with each troop consisting of infants, sub-adults, sexually mature adults, and the elderly. The infants stay close to their mothers up to the age of 6 months, and the mother-infant bond is extremely strong. Reports of violence among rhesus macaques mostly emerge from cases of chaotic fissioning, breaking of groups, and separation of mothers and infants.
Now, are rhesus macaques full of peanut butter?
I don't know. No. Habitat loss is driving the monkeys ever closer to human settlements. Macaque monkeys are considered sacred by Hindus.
Wow, that's wonderful.
Who often feed them because of their connection to the god Hanuman. But the monkeys are becoming increasingly dangerous. About 20 cases of monkey bites are being reported every day. And attempts to curb India's monkey population go back as far as 2006.
Jeez.
They started trying to sterilize the rhesus monkeys, but they say it's not really working. So they're trying to figure something out. Sometimes you can't trust your own eyes. A woman in New York City saw that she thought was, a woman dressed in the iconic robes from The Handmaid's Tale standing on the edge of a Manhattan rooftop on Tuesday. But when the NYPD responded, they found it was a patio umbrella.
a Handmaid's umbrella.
Yeah, they had a, it had a white top on it. Casey McCormick posted about the ordeal on Twitter along with a photo of what she thought was the red cloaked silhouette in the distance.
It's a handmaid's sale. It's Sequoia.
She also said the responding officer sent her a photo of the umbrella. Netflix's Twitter account also joined in on the fun with a reference to the TV series protagonist Offred posting off umbrella is what they called that one. A woman who married the 300-year-old ghost of a Haitian pirate said he almost killed her when she tried to break up with him. Amanda,
run this by me again.
Yes, a woman who married a 300-year-old ghost of a Haitian pirate said he almost killed her when she tried to break up with him.
That son of a bitch.
Amanda Teague legally married her soulmate, Jack, who allegedly died in the 1700s after being executed for thieving on the high seas on a boat in international waters.
Is this Captain Jack Sparrow?
I don't know. However, Amanda from Northern Ireland was forced to undergo an exorcism after his spirit possessed her and left her hospitalized. The former Captain Jack Sparrow impersonator said that their spiritual and sexual relationship had given her serious health problems and threatened to kill her if she tried to dump him.
Mm.
She suffered with painful abscesses, developed sepsis, and was told she would need a colostomy bag, but was incredibly healed after she eventually managed to get rid of Jack.
It's another example of women picking the wrong ghost.
Yes. Yeah, she said...
there's a good prospect.
After 2 weeks of marriage, I started to get health problems. I started to get recurring perineal abscesses, and I was suffering from cirrhosis.
Jesus.
About 4 or 5 months in, when things started to go really downhill, I went back to some of the people that had communicated with Jack and said, I know the symptoms of possession, and part of it is ill health. She discovered Jack was not all he made himself out to be. Said so I was concerned that it was to do with their relationship because of the timeline.
Is it possible this woman is an imbecile?
Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know if they've looked into that or not. But she said, I was unassured that he was a lovely spirit who wouldn't harm me, or I was assured. But after her dog Toby died, Amanda says she spotted a major red flag about the relationship. And said that she felt that he was bad, and apparently he took over her body.
What app did she meet him on?
That's a good question. Don't know where they
ghost her.
Yeah, maybe. So anyhow, she's out of her freaking mind.
People believe this stuff, though.
And then one last story. This took place over this past weekend. A Florida man got the bite of his life after finding a python in his bathroom Sunday morning.
Yeah.
Officers were called to a home after a resident found an unwelcome slithery guest trying to either enter or exit his toilet, and at some point he was bitten by the python. And they're not poisonous, but they have big-ass fangs
absolutely
on them, man. Officers identified the snake to be non-venomous, ball python. It was caught and later transferred to a reptile center. The man was taken to the hospital and treated for the snake bite.
Where was he bitten exactly?
It does not indicate.
Well, if he was sitting on the toilet, yeah, it had to be on his ass.
Ball pythons are one of the most popular non-native snakes in the pet trade. They can be confused with Burmese pythons, but adult pythons rarely grow longer than 4 feet, by the way.
Would you not die of a heart attack were you to turn around and see a snake in the toilet?
In the toilet, yeah. It would definitely mess with me. And I'm not the kind that gets way freaked out by creatures, but that would absolutely terrify me, I think, if it was in the toilet. And there you go. That's what I have in the bizarre file for you. Real quick, I want to do a wedding shout out, and I know you have an event you want to plug.
Thank you.
Says, hey, I'm sorry this is late, but I'm really hoping you can give my best friend who is getting married tomorrow a shout out.
No problem.
So growing up, we listen to your show every day on our way to school together. You guys have been such a huge part of our lives, and I know that it would mean the world to him. His name is Dom, and he's marrying his beautiful wife, Brooke, up in Newport, Rhode Island, and I would love to play your shout out during the best man speech.
Huh.
He says, thank you, rock on, and love you guys. That is from Lou. So everybody at the reception who is listening now, this is for you guys.
smell it.
Perfect.
Now enjoy your first dance.
Yes, exactly. So there you go. Congratulations to the happy couple. And and Lou, you can now leave. They don't want you there anymore. And one other quick thing, because I didn't know where to put this. This is not a shard out or anything like that.
All right.
But I saw this... Twitter post yesterday from somebody named Casey Maestro.
Casey Maestro.
Yeah, and they were commenting on, it was a video that I did reading from that book of the dangers of pleasuring yourself.
Yes, a book from 1778 or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. But they commented, and I guess maybe I mispronounced or something like that, but they come up with a Preston and Steve drinking game.
Ah.
And here's what you do. So you have to drink anytime Preston says a word wrong. Steve says, I did stand-up comedy. Nick knows a fact. Casey has an idea. Or Kathy says, ooh or no.
Huh.
So there you go. If you want to try that out, listen to our podcast.
I think I probably, there's probably something I say more than that. I think you get drunker more.
Well, you don't want to go way crazy.
Isn't the idea that, oh, okay. Because I always thought the idea of a drinking game was to do something that where you're going to get bombed.
It is, but yeah. I mean, there's enough there. Enough. If you use all of those, chances are you're going to get pretty hammered listening to a show. But,
point taken.
Yep, there you go. All right, you wanted to mention an event, right?
Well, Cats is coming, you know, to the Kimmel Center. Broadway is bringing Cats to the area, and it's going to be at the Forest Theater tomorrow. Production has they actually asked Claire, my wife, who runs Max Fun, which is a cat charity, to help them participate in Cat Adoption Day. So there's going to be a couple of cats, about 12 to 15 cats, for adoption at the theater itself. And the theater is the Forest Theater, 1114, so 1114 Walnut Street. We're going to be right up there in front of the theater. She's going to be there set up. There's going to be throughout the afternoon. And I'm going to make an appearance there from about 3 to 4.30, 3 to 5 o'clock after I do the Sequoia event. So if you come on by and you're in the market for adopting a cat, these are all rescued animals, participate. I thought it was very cool that they asked her to participate and she went to act and it's a cooperation. So if you're looking for a cat to bring a cat into your life, we'll be out there. And it's a wonderful way to do that. And we'll also be telling you about the Mutiny on the Mishulu, which is taking place on June 20th. Again, another Max Fund-based charity. I'll tell you more about that on Monday, but this is a great way. We'd love to see you stop by. I'll be there after the Sequoia appearance, and there'll be a whole bunch of kitties. Come by if you're looking for a cat. We'd love to adopt them out. The whole idea is to move Forest Theater, 1114 Walnut Street, and that is happening from 2 to about 5. And let me make sure I have that. Yeah, 2 to 5 p.m. I'll be there from about 3 to 4:30, 5 o'clock. So come by and say hi.
It's going to be a nice day, too. So
yeah, looking forward to it. Yeah.
Excellent. All right, listen, I want to take a break. Sterling Pig Brewery here this morning. Their second location is 113 West Market Street in Westchester. They're also located in Media, PA.
Yes.
And I have $25 gift cards.
Nice.
And I can take callers 14 and 15, and I will give those to you. 215-263-WMMR. They have weekly food specials at the bar Monday through Wednesday, 7 to 10 p.m. They offer brunch every Sunday as well, 11:30 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. So check them out. You can see all the information at sterlingpig.com. We'll take a break and be back. Coming up next, Chris Redd will be here.
Love MMR? Buy some gear. Check out the Rock Shop at WMMR.com. Snazzy.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Our next guest has a lot of fans in Philly and a lot of fans in this room right here. And he's going to be playing Punchline tonight. And also...
That's it.
7:30.
One show.
Oh. Two shows. One night only.
There you go.
Ladies and gentlemen, Chris Redd.
Yeah.
What's up, everybody?
How are you, man?
I'm good. I'm tired.
Tired.
Yeah, y'all up early, man.
Yeah.
Bless y'all hearts. Each and every one of y'all individual barbecue eating hearts.
We eat it early.
Yeah.
We eat the barbecue early in the morning.
I know. I was like, oof. I don't know if my stomach could do it.
Take one bite and you'll be on board.
Yeah. I did. Yep. I'm lying night chat, but I'm taking something to go.
It's a weird thing because I'm up at 3:45 and like, you know.
On purpose.
Yeah, you kind of. But and we all get up early, and so people come in and see us eating stuff like that. But it's your whole day gets screwed up because it's like our lunch is occurring hours before most people's 100%. Lunch. Yeah, so it just wipes you out. But you're no stranger. Obviously, you're on SNL, that's known as one of the most rigorous schedules for putting a show together, for writing and all that stuff. But if you take your story back, you're from Chicago, right?
Yeah, so I was born in St. Louis. I know I got to say that.
Okay.
I mean? And I was there for 7 years, and I moved to Chicago. But my family's from Mississippi, so they made sure that we were kind of raised out there, too. So I've been.
Preston's from St. Louis.
Kind of I heard you were from St. Louis. Yeah, where at?
Chesterfield, not in West County.
Yeah.
How about you?
In the city proper, and then we went to St. Charles.
Okay, sure.
Yeah. And then from St. Charles, we went to the west side of Chicago, then the west suburbs. And then I went to the city.
I would be in that close in St. Louis going, we would go to Chicago from time to time. I love that town, man.
Yeah.
Love that town.
I love Chicago with all my heart. I have a special appreciation for St. Louis. I went to church with Ozzie Smith for a long time.
Is that right?
And he was my favorite baseball player because he flipped, which is not the right reason.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
For a kid.
You know what I mean? Like, yo, he's a baseball player and a ninja? That's why would I not love that?
That's
could
have been the greatest shortstop of all time as well.
Exactly. Yeah. But I never leave with that.
No. But you're right. You do remember those one that I remember for years and years and years. There was a guy, Ron Swoboda, on the Mets years ago who made a diving catch. Didn't do much else. Yeah. But it was like, the dude dove.
Yeah.
And it was
it's like he could fly. It builds, and then he lands.
It builds the legend. Yeah.
I caught an Ozzie Smith foul ball. The only time I ever caught a foul ball. Yeah, it was Easter Sunday, like maybe 1990, something like that. He just it was screaming down the left, like third baseline. I didn't actually catch it, but I knocked it down with my hands and then I picked it up.
This story is breaking down the more you talk, man. He's like, I caught it. Wait, well, I didn't catch it, but I looked at it. I didn't see it. I wasn't there.
It was on TV. Okay, we were listening to the radio.
Right. It was a radio, not my radio. I was hanging at somebody's house.
They told me about it.
So, you go to Chicago, but music is your first love, right?
Yeah, man. I wanted to be a rapper. I wanted to be a gangster, all that. And none of it worked out the way I thought it was going to. But it circled back when I was able to do music comedy, which is like a beautiful thing.
And it's very cool because you found out you're making people laugh. And correct me if I'm wrong, but you used to get free food at McDonald's for making people laugh at McDonald's.
Yeah. So, okay. So the story is, people that are just sitting here randomly. I was in between jobs because where I was living at, I had worked like 50 jobs. At that point, maybe 35. and a lot in that area, so I couldn't get hired anywhere. So I would just do what people that are unemployed do. They go to the gym. And then I would visit my friends at work. And some of my friends worked at McDonald's, so I would go up there and I would crack jokes for like maybe half hour, an hour sometimes, and they would just like give me free food every day. So I didn't know if I was hilarious or they just thought I was so homeless. Either way,
it worked.
You know what I'm saying?
It surprised me because obviously, so you're coming in on the music side, and you hear a lot of people. I think there's a lot that, you know, the old joke is that musicians want to be comedians, and comedians want to do music, and it goes back and forth. But the first time I started to see you, I'm like, this guy's got it. Because you were just, I was drawn to you, you know, whatever you were in. And we're big fans of Popstar and Never Stop, Never Stopping.
Bless y'all.
Yeah, and Hunter the Hungry is just such a such a great character. And you're just so kinetic and in that. I think, but you yourself were not sure of your chops at that point? Or when did you make that fork in the road? When did you go the comedy way completely and just say, okay, forget music for now?
Well, because I had put everything into music, like it's kind of the only thing I had chased up until this point. It was like 20. I was 23,
right
then, and I had used my whole check yet again for another studio session, and I was like, I had like $25 to my name
because it's expensive.
A gang of songs, and I was like, am I gonna just keep doing this? Yeah, like, is this because I had tried so much? I mean, I tried hard, like unrelentingly hard. I don't think I said that word right, but
you said it right. Yeah.
But then I was like, man, I think I should just take a break and figure out if there's another route for me, which was the first time I had to be real with myself to take a step back. So I was depressed for a long time about that. And then like a half a year later, I saw a commercial for Second City and I was like, oh, maybe I could do this, you know? And my
the parents, legendary Second City.
Yeah,
so they're just running like open casting or what?
No, there's the beginner classes where you can pay a lot of money to walk around a room with other adults and play pretend. Yeah, it's like you a tree now. All right, businessman, like a guy in a full suit. Yeah. Just being a tree, you know? And it was, I was like, well, maybe that. And I know my parents did not like me rapping. They had to really warm up to that. And then when I went to visit them, I was like, yo, I think I'm going to get into comedy. And my dad was like, oh, Second City. Yeah, that's cool. And my mom was like, another dream? You know, just go to school. Jesus. But it worked out.
Kudos to you, though, for biting the bullet and going, figuring, okay, I need to put in my time and going to do the classes. A lot of people wouldn't do that, but you started doing stand-up as well.
I did. That same time, I was out. I had already been hosting some stuff.
Yeah.
And so I knew I had jokes, but I wasn't really studying the art of stand-up comedy in the right way. So when I started doing improv and sketch, I was like, oh, let me really dive in and try to find what my voice is.
Well, there seems to be sketch people and there's stand-up people.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And there's some
like two
that
gangs
can,
that are nerds.
But some people can marry it and make it work. Like
SNL can.
Yeah. I mean, to an example, like Brewer. Brewer is a stand-up dude. Yeah. He worked hard in the clubs and all that. And, mm-hmm. you know, we've had him on the show many times. He's like, I went and tried this thing at Saturday Night Live. I just basically did my stand-up routine.
Yeah.
And he found a way to get into sketch comedy, but it still wasn't really his thing, you know what I mean?
Well, there are people that I loved coming up that could do it really well, like, you know, like Eddie, you know, and Chappelle. So it's like those. I wanted to always be a stand up that could act, you know, because I love acting. If I didn't, I wish I didn't love acting as much as I do, because it would be way easier just to be a stand up and not balanced, especially in Chicago, because we're so split in a lot of ways. But in the comedy scene, when I was coming up, you either picked one or the other.
Would they look down at you, or would you catch some guff? So if you were the improv guy coming into a stand-up room, they'd be like, well, who's this
dude? Thought you're selfish.
Okay.
Like, because they're like, you just want to be up there by yourself. Improv is a team sport. And then you would go to open mics, and they're like, what are you doing that nerd improv for? You're going to be a stand-up. And then as soon as it started working, they were like, oh, so what class did you take? You
know?
Let me ask you, what are you then?
I'm a comedian.
Okay, you're not a musician.
I am a musician. I think all of it is a tool belt. You know what I'm saying? I'm Batman, and all of it is a tool belt. So improv and sketch, I use it all to like...
One's going to help the other.
Yeah.
And so when you know, we're talking to you, I can't help but think of Donald Glover, Childish Gambino.
Yes.
And I don't know if Childish Gambino would have ever been able to take off had it not been for Parks and Rec, right?
Right.
So, you know.
Community.
Or Community. I'm sorry. Yeah. Wrong show. Same network.
Same network.
You know, one begot the other. And so what did he want to start out as? Was he a musician first or was he an actor? And now he does stand up too.
Yeah. Well, is he doing stand up anymore?
No, I don't think
he's
so.
He did a special.
He did a special. Really though. I remember seeing a special. I think he was rapping before,
right.
too. I don't really know when he started. I should call him.
Get him on the phone.
I don't know when he started, but I know that his music's always been dope. And,
right.
And like him, like separating that with his own, like with the Childish Gambino situation.
But like one was able to feed the other. And, and so are you getting to a point in your career where you feel like... maybe the music career might be able to take off as a result of what you're doing now?
Yeah, I mean, I love doing music comedy. And so...
And you won an Emmy for it.
I did, which was crazy.
That could blow your mind.
Yeah, I'm still wrapping my head around it now. Like,
For people who don't know, explain. It was a song you did on SNL.
Yeah. It was a song we did on SNL, Come Back Barack, and I wrote it with my writing partner, Will Steven, and we won an Emmy for it. And we didn't go in like, we're writing an Emmy song today. Like, I think that's an insane thought to have. But when it happened, it was like, oh, this is crazy. It's kind of like set some new goals of like how, like where this could take you, you know, if you write some good jokes and the timing is cool.
Yeah.
So I always knew I wanted to do music. I always knew I wanted to do comedy music.
Yeah.
I didn't know I wanted to do it that much, but that's why I half the reason why I went out for SNL, because I wanted to be challenged in that way.
Wow.
And I wanted to see if I could like even follow in the footsteps of the big bros, like the Lonely Island and Weird Al's and all the people who came before me, I really loved.
Well, it's working.
Well, thank you, man. Yeah. See, a long way to go. Just getting started, baby.
Yeah.
I want to ask you about Kanye, because he's such a complex person. I don't really know if I like him or not. I don't know if that even matters.
I think that's the point. I don't know. I'm just trying to.
You threw me off.
What if I just walked off? Just right there. Yeah, dog.
Yeah.
But he's got to be. Right?
And that would make sense. That would work. That would if you totally just disappeared work. Into a Kanye cloud, I think that would make sense.
I think that I like your impression of Kanye more than I like Kanye himself because I end up laughing at yours and I just find it to be hilarious. Do you like Kanye? Does that matter?
I love Kanye. I'm from Chicago, grew up on Kanye. When he made it, it was such a big deal for people in music. And it was just, and you know, he was like the underdog who made it. Like, no one believed in the kid. And then, like, all of a sudden, it was like he was the biggest thing in the city. I also met him when I was a child. And I handed him a mixtape when he was just getting popular. And he was like, nah. Yo, and so I learned real early that I might not like him as a person.
Yeah, okay.
But I loved his music. You know what I mean?
You know, he just did a thing, and I was reading about it. Letterman has a new series, an interview series on Netflix.
I love
and
that
so he
series.
Sat down with it, sat down with Kanye, and some of the quotes I was reading, it's kind of interesting because he goes into the bipolar stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And he starts to explain, and in a way I'm like, oh, this is what he's battling with. And he says, you know, when he goes, has a bipolar situation that everyone runs in and tries to help and does exactly the wrong thing. And sure. like makes it, you know, so it's in a way you can say, okay, I maybe understand him a little bit more because I have to say there, you know, the more I hear of some of his stuff, he does seem to be a bit, and I'm not, you know.
He's a musical genius.
He's a bit of it. He's an innovator, yeah. You know.
But I have a love for him, and I think that's why I love the impression so much is because I don't, there are things I won't make fun of him for.
Right,
you
right.
Know what I mean?
What?
I won't harp on the mental issues of it because it's like, you know, I'm depressed. I'm depressed all the time. I'm not gonna make fun of that specifically. You know what I mean? I would much rather you can still make bad decisions no matter what you're going through, and you can say things the wrong way. And I'm a fan, so I feel like when he's making me mad for decisions he's making or like he's doing something wild, I can speak on that without it coming from a hateful place. And I think that's the important thing.
Right? Yeah. I always get that. Yeah.
I feel like though the Kanye that the human being is always just trying to drop knowledge, and mm-hmm. he's never just talking to somebody. He's always trying
there's
to
a
like,
reason.
Teach you something.
Yeah.
And like sometimes I don't feel like learning.
You know? Yeah. No. That's the thing. That's the important thing. Is like he's always really in the right. In his mind, he's in the right, and he has a purpose and a point. And a lot of times he does it here. And then when it comes out, you're like, what?
Well,
you know what I'm
you're
saying?
You're exactly right. Because he'll sit down with somebody and he'll get metaphysical and he's being interviewed by like Jerry Springer. It's like,
yeah.
maybe a little bit lighter for this interview.
Yeah, you're like, so that's why a caterpillar rides on a cloud. I'm like, well, okay, I do believe the world should be one. But that other stuff is crazy. What? Where did caterpillar come from? You don't hear me, fam. You know?
I wanted to ask you about, we were talking about Popstar, and again, it's such a great movie, and I was saying off air that it's going to reach that. It's already, I think, well on its way to being one of those iconic cult movies that people need to go back and rediscover.
Oh, that's awesome.
You know, and your character in it is so good. Working with the Lonely Island guys and with Andy Samberg and Tim Meadows, what was that experience like?
It was amazing, man. It was my first movie. I'm stumbling because I still get like so excited about that movie.
Was it hard not to fanboy out when you're around? Because they were. By the way, there was Pink and Mariah Carey and all these other people were in the movie as well.
All of those people I had different interactions with.
Yeah.
So, like the Lonely Island, I was very nervous to meet Andy and them, and then they came in to start talking basketball, and I was like, oh, they regular dudes. This is cool, and they are. They're very chill. Meeting Tim Meadows was dope. Like, he's just like a big bro, like more like an uncle, you know what I'm saying? Like a cool uncle though, you know? And I love Tim. I see him pretty much all the time when I'm like in Chicago or anytime we're in the same city.
Yeah.
We kind of link up and he helped me out a lot. And I was just on set. They let me come hang when I'm not even shooting just to kind of, cause I was soaking everything up, man. And it was like, I mean, I just wanted to come there and do the best that I could because I was the least known person. with lines. So I was like, okay, I'm just going to make sure that I just, like, kill it every day.
You did?
I bring this improv to it. When I met Mariah Carey, I was geeking. I smelled her before I saw her.
Ooh, what'd you smell like?
Oh, man, like if cotton candy had perfume of angels.
If cotton candy had perfume of angels?
Yeah, like wow. If cotton candy got up and was like, shh, shh, shh. Like, you already cotton candy. You don't need none.
I saw her. I'm actually a huge Mariah Carey fan, and yeah. I saw her in Philly couple of months ago. I was blown away with how great the concert was. And by the way, it was loud. Yeah. I mean, I started getting a headache by the end of the show because yeah. I was like, okay, I've been to rock shows that aren't this loud. It was yeah. awesome.
Oh, man.
Was yeah. she cool to you?
She's amazing. Yeah. And she's like, yeah, she's from New York. So we just, yeah. you know, and I love New York. This was before I lived there, but I always wanted to live there. And so we started talking about New York and Chicago, and she was just like a cool, down-to-earth person, and that made her even doper to me.
Yeah.
The person who rocked me. I'm not like a huge like fan person.
You right, know what
I mean?
Right.
So I, at least not in theory. So I never met people. So
theoretically, this is the first time, you're not. Yeah.
I never. So when I met him, that's when I realized how much of a fan I was. And one day on set, Angelina Jolie came.
Wow.
Unannounced. And as soon as I saw her, I was like, oh, it's like a flash of all these things I've ever seen her in. I'm like, yeah. I'm a fan of this person. And I was going through set talking to everybody, and she showed up, and I clammed up. I couldn't think. And then she
did you meet her face to face?
Man, they sent her over to me because they saw me freaking out in the corner. I was just sitting in the corner just like, oh, man, Angelina Jolie is here. And, like, the loudest person on set became the quietest person on set. Like, what's wrong with you? Like, Angelina Jolie is here. So she came up dressed real normal, brought her kids. And she came up and she was like, hey, you know where I can get some water? There was tons of people that their job was to do this.
Yeah.
So I knew I was being pranked, but I couldn't. She was just, out, you know, she's hurt.
Yeah.
And so I was like, I don't even know what water is. And I'm like, man, she thinks I have a real issue in my head.
So face-to-face, though, is she pretty stunning?
Oh, man, yeah. And yeah. She was like, casually dressed. Like, she,
yeah.
And that's what made it cooler to me, that she was just like, she's perfect.
There's something, though, that it does where there is a thing that makes somebody. We met Kate Beckinsale on the set of, after
cool.
Pearl Harbor for the press yeah. junket at Pearl Harbor. And Preston, when she came over, we didn't know how to talk.
Well, yeah. She's absolutely gorgeous. Yep. On top of that, she's very funny.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
she's so funny.
Well, that's cool. Yeah, well, obviously, yeah, there was a bit of an SNL connection there as well.
Oh, I wouldn't even reference yeah. that. I'm just saying she's a funny person.
Yeah. So with the show, with Popstar, there's a sequence that just is hilarious where you and Connor for real are going back and forth, and he was set up on stage.
Yeah.
And did you improv that in the moment? You're admitting to doing it, and then you're denying doing it back and forth for about a minute and a half.
So that was one of the scenes that was already done for the audition.
Okay,
and one of the scenes, I think that's probably the scene that got me the job.
It's freaking hilarious.
But it's the funny, still hands down one of the funniest things I've done. And just that, like, from writing it to just finding the game and yeah. just extending it. But I had so many. We did that for a long time. It was all of our favorite scenes to do. And we, if you saw the outtakes, there's like so many versions of that. Because I had like five different ways I wanted to do it. And we played each and every one of those ways that day. But I was looking forward to that day, man, for a long time. It worked well.
I wanted to ask you for the SNL audition, which is always a really difficult thing to do.
Yeah.
Did you go up and just do stand-up? Did you do characters? What did you do?
When I was touring, I'm still touring. I don't know what when I was. But like at that time, I was touring and I was doing a bunch of characters in my show because I do that anyway.
Right.
And I had a lot of stand-up bits in there. So I was like, yo, I'll go. I just basically truncated what I do in my show. Made it more character heavy, but like made sure that I had stand up bits in there that would set stuff up.
Were you really sweating well. Bullets?
Nah, because it was my second time, and my first year was so hectic, because somebody said I got the show and I didn't get the show, and so so I had to deal with this whole thing for like a year in Chicago, and so I was kind of like over it, and then they were like, "Yo, I'm gonna come back in," and I was like, and people had just stopped talking about me not getting the show, and then I was like, I kind of didn't want to do it. But then I knew in my heart I wanted to.
Sure.
So when I came back in, I kind of had a little chip on my shoulder a little bit.
That
like,
helps.
I don't care how this goes. I'm me. But that helped, though. It helped me not be so nervous about it. Yeah. And I had just worked so hard over that year that I just felt good, had a couple drinks. When it, I would not suggest that if that's not your thing. I was in a place. I don't want any kids walking, oh, that's all I need to do.
Get hammered.
You know, get real hammered and go in there and audition. Like, please don't do that. But I went in there and I just did all of my characters that I really wanted to do. And it just worked out.
Excellent.
All right, so you're in town basically for Roots Picnic, right? So so tonight's kind of like a warm-up show, something. So what can we expect at Punchline tonight and at Roots Picnic tomorrow?
I don't know what happens tomorrow. I will be at home. Well, I'll be at the picnic for a little bit, but then I have to head back to New York.
So you're just going to Roots Picnic tomorrow?
Yeah. But tonight you can expect we're doing some stand up comedy. I know Black Thought's gonna do some stand up too.
No kidding.
And I'm gonna be telling stories, man. I'm gonna be telling jokes. I'm a joke teller. You know what I mean? You may see some kind, you may not. Please don't yell out impressions because I'm not an impressionist. I love doing the impressions, but I'm not a guy who's like, all right, for the next impression.
Right.
I also don't know why I became a 1960s auctioneer. For my next impression, step right up.
Ask for that impression tonight.
Yeah. I will do that all day.
Yeah. ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen, feast your eyes on barbecue.
No, Chris, it's annoying when people ask for impressions. But, Chris, I did want to ask you one more SNL-related question. I saw an interview recently with Dana Carvey who said that Lorne Michaels barely sleeps and he goes out until like 6 or 7 in the morning. Is that true?
Lorne can kick it.
Still?
Yes, he's a G, man.
Wow.
He is a G. I'll be looking around people like going home and Lorne sitting right there just like chilling. It's like 4 in the morning. Like, Lorne, you ever get tired? Like, no. He's a G, man. He's awesome.
But he's sort of still the ringleader on all of this, right?
Yeah, man. That was the most impressive thing. That was watching when we do like a dress rehearsal right before the show and we have to do notes and he goes through the whole show and does barely looks at his sheet and like can tell you like what you need to change in each sketch throughout like a 2-hour show. It's
wow.
Insane.
Yeah.
And it's, I mean, he has a super passion for this and I don't know how I would run without him, man. He's dope.
It's a talent, man. Definitely.
And he did not pay me to say that.
Chris is going to be at Punchline, as Casey said, tonight. There are two shows, 7:30, 9:45. I'm going to bet you they're going to sell out.
Yes.
Ooh, that'd be cool.
At punchlinephilly.com. I would get them right now if I were you. But we're glad you're in town, man. Thanks for making time to come by here. We appreciate it.
Oh, man. Thank you guys for having me before the popular guy.
You're the popular guy,
too. Anytime. Chris Redd, guys, is here for him.
Yeah. Punchline. Thank you.
You got it, man. Take care. We're going to come back in just a moment. Yeah, Adrian Zemed's going to be on the show when we get back. Make sure you stay.
Adrian!
What's new?
Glad you asked.
Rival Sons. Godsmack.
New music, more of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
Thank you very much, Kathy. A few weeks ago, we had Cindy Williams and Dede Kahn stop by our studio. They were performing in Middletown at the Bucks County Playhouse.
Yes.
And we had such a great time with them. And we found out, starring in the same show, was another person that we've wanted to get in our studio for years. And we said, could you put a good word in? Tell them we're okay, guys. And sure enough, he's here before us. And by the way, the show is going to be at the Delaware Theater Company. It is now through June 2nd. Sitting to my left, ladies and gentlemen, Adrian Zemed.
Yay! Adrian Zemed, I thought he was dead.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
We're not kidding.
We've been talking about you forever, right, Preston?
We have. We absolutely have. We are fans. Has anybody ever said to you, I thought you were dead before, though? That's a slight insult.
Well, actually, there was an episode of The Simpsons where I was the in one of their musical numbers, and I popped out of a coffin saying, and I'm not dead.
That's something about you ever since. And I've honestly, we've loved so much of what you've done, but you've always had fun with your own image, which is an endearing quality.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank
you know, you. Like it's, I mean, you like, right from the get-go, even for Christ's sake on T.J. Hooker, which sort of put you on the map, you there was always sort of a knowing, fun aspect of that, you know. And Shatner, of course, has always been great at that.
Yeah,
you know, knowing how to play it both ways with a wink.
Yeah,
and so throughout your career, but here you are in this play, and again, Middletown, and it's two couples, and they're sort of there's some comedy, there's some sadness, but it's just it's the way they've grown over the years. What drew you to this?
Exactly that. I'm used to, you know, I've been through the Eastern Seaboard so many times with musicals.
Yeah.
And I'm used to just being drenched in sweat by the end of the show and doing it. And then I read this play, and it was such a simple play. It's just about two couples who have dinner every Friday night for 33 years.
Right.
They're best friends. And they're normal people, and life happens to them.
Mm-hmm.
And it truly is a roller coaster of emotions. I mean, we suck you in by all of our little charming quirks that the couples have and everything. And then life happens. There are tragedies in life that you have to deal with, relationship problems with your spouse and everything. But there is an incredible message. There are so many messages in this piece. I think it's a very important piece because we deal with a lot of social problems. Mm-hmm. And my God, we're having that problem today, aren't we?
Well,
I thought we have come a long way, but maybe we haven't.
It's good to revisit and remember and also just remember what sort of unifies us. And I get the feeling that this is this exposes a lot of things that bring us all together.
Yeah.
Because many playwrights have said, David Mamet said, you know, the play that's happening in the house next to yours is as, you know, riveting as anything you'll see on Broadway. It's the nature of life.
And what is the great fascinating thing about this play is that the words speak for themselves.
Yeah.
We actually, there's a play called Love Letters, if anybody knows about it.
Yeah, I do,
People, the two actors just sit at a table and read these letters. We're actually reading from the scripts the entire night. And after the first few minutes, nobody even pays attention that we're reading it out of the scripts because we really get caught up in it. Dan Clancy wrote a brilliant script, and that's why this play is so good.
Okay. So we, again, we're unabashed fans of yours going back throughout your history. So let's go back to the beginning. You were in high school. You wanted to be in sports. You got injured. You got into musicals.
Yeah, I literally broke my leg.
You're football
to get into show business.
Very dangerous injury. You're severed an artery, right? Or
yeah, I had a compound fracture, and I had about three or four operations just to straighten the leg out and everything. It was pretty bad. In fact, you guys have done your homework.
Yeah, yeah.
I haven't talked about this in a long time. They were actually wanted my father to sign and mom to sign a release that they may have to amputate
my
leg. It was so bad. Wow. And my father wouldn't do it. No, being from the old country, he didn't trust doctors.
It's a Romanian?
Yes.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
So you do that? You do Guys and Dolls in high school, right?
Yeah, I did. That was the first show that I did. And I said, hey, I'm good at this.
You fell in love with it.
And that was it. You know, I said, this is what I want to do with the rest of my life. My father was almost disowned me. But
that must be hard because, I mean, you know, apparently, from what I understand, like a regular work ethic, a solid work ethic, when you say you want to go do something like that and as risky as entertainment, how tough a sell was that? And did you just have to say, I'm going to go do this, and that's it?
Well, I'm actually first-generation Romanian. So my family came, you know, to America for their kids to, you know, be doctors and lawyers. And I come up to my dad and say, I'm going to be an actor. And
right.
you know, the funny thing about him is I won him over. I literally out of acting school, I got one of the last national tours of the original Grease. We were playing in my hometown of Chicago.
You were playing Zuko.
Yeah, I was playing Danny, and we were going into a very big theater into Chicago, and there was no and nobody really knew very much about Greece at that time.
Right.
The movie had not come out yet. It was just a hit on Broadway, and, you know, there were a few national tours. So the company manager said, look, we're having a lot of trouble with this opening night. We're going to paper the house. Tell your dad that you can invite the entire congregation. So,
oh, man, that's a
I didn't mention that my father is a priest, an Orthodox priest.
Right.
They can get married.
And Greece is
Eastern Orthodox priests can get married.
Yeah. Greece is very profane.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Yeah, the stage
show.
Are you
kidding? Yeah. I'm giving the finger on the show. And it's like, you know, the original Greece was not meant for kids. It was meant for adults looking back on their lives in high school.
He brings down the congregation.
So, there were, like, you know, 500, Romanian people screaming and yelling, and they had their gypsy violins, and they were going, singing the accolades. Every time I came out, there was a big cheer. It was then that my father was won over, and he didn't understand when I ended up getting television and film, when I was doing T.J. Hooker, he didn't really understand what that was all about. So he says, you work for 1 hour. What you do rest of week?
That's great.
You are a bum.
It's a good question.
Not realizing.
going to your television career, Steve had reminded me a part of your career that I had forgotten about, but you were the host of Dance Fever.
Yes, I was.
You took over after Denny Terrio was gone.
Yeah.
And,
that was a blast.
It had to have been, right?
Yeah. I at that time, you know, there weren't that many opportunities to do music in television in the 80s. And I had done Grease 2 at that point. But I was a song and dance man originally on Broadway, and
it was a syndicated show, and it was actually huge. It
was monstrous.
It predated, Kathy, all of these dance judge shows. You had
the earlier time of that. Yeah.
Right. And there was nothing like it. And you had Motion, I think, was the backup group, right? Dance with you.
Yeah. Yeah. In fact, Wayne Gretzky's wife, Janet Jones, was
one of the
girls.
She was one of the dancers, Motion.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No way.
Yeah, there you go. You've got a video.
We're watching the video of it.
It's a dirty job, but somebody had to do it. How about that mullet, huh?
Look at that hair. Adrian, dude, you may have just taken the crown as the greatest mullet ever.
I liked you on this show, I hated Denny Terrio. However, I loved you on the show. So
thanks a lot.
Adrian Zemed's doing this, then I'm going to watch.
Yeah, I look back on some of this stuff and what were we thinking in the 80s?
I know.
I mean, some of the outfits that they even put me in, I was in spandex.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's all coming back, though.
It was just...
it was a time where everyone looks and goes, what were we thinking?
I know.
Thinking?
Listen,
it's coming back, though.
Although
I just cut my mullet off last week.
I had a world-class mullet in the 80s as well, and I always justify that by... Okay, so did David Bowie, so did Bono. Some of the coolest people on the planet had that style at that time. We were all under that bizarre influence.
Yeah, absolutely. We were all doing it. And while I was doing T.J. Hooker, I was still trying to grow a mullet and everything. And Aaron Spelling would always yell at me. I was our boss on that.
You had some rocking ass hair on T.J. Hooker. And also, you did it for
lot
me.
A lot of hair for a cop.
And you and Heather Locklear with massive manes of hair. Yeah. But you did a thing for Me TV, and it was true because on T.J. Hooker, you were constantly with your shirt off, and it was was there sort of a thing written into your deal, or did every episode have at least one post workout scene where you were shirtless? Because you're always in good shape.
You know the funny, I got into this business because I wanted to be an actor.
Right.
That's it. I never even wanted to do television and film. I just wanted to work in theater.
Right.
That's all I ever wanted to do. And then one thing happens and then you're just whisked away and suddenly you're in Hollywood and you're doing all this stuff.
You're a good-looking guy, though. You're photogenic, so I'm sure that worked in your favor, right?
Of course it did. But all I really wanted to do was have good acting roles and whatever. And, you know, when I arrived in Hollywood, I was the poor man's John Travolta. There weren't a lot of guys who looked Italian and could dance really well.
Right, right.
Because I had been doing Broadway shows and stuff. So I got pigeonholed into this punky thing, and that's all I kept on doing is that stuff. And my manager said, trust me, this will get you the roles that you want. And he was right.
Yeah.
Because when I wasn't doing hunky things, I was looking for like TV movies with substance to it. It was a good balance.
Well, Jesus, you're good friends with Bill William Shatner, right?
Yeah, I'm actually. We're currently working on a few projects with his production company. Actually, we're. I'm letting it out right now. We're actually thinking of bringing Hooker back.
Oh, that'd be...
In a comical way.
That'd be awesome.
Perfect. Bill is 88.
Yeah. They did an SNL parody one time that's a classic because he would always jump on the hood of a car during the show.
Yeah.
And there, it's like a cross-country chase. Where
I think Dana Carvey played your character.
He did. But the funny thing about it is that when we did Hooker... Bill pretty much did push the envelope on asking for ridiculous things for Hooker to do.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, we had, like, technical advisors from LAPD there. And he said, look, no, I got this idea. How about I just run over to the helicopter, and as it's going up, I just grab onto the rung of the helicopter, and as when we're up in the air, I take my gun out, and I go, bring it down! And the TA standing there going... Nobody would ever do that. No, trust me. This is going to be exciting. And the audience is going to love it. And he would do stuff like that all the time. And it was like, oh, here we go again.
Yeah. Oh, that's great.
The 80s were a different time, you know.
They really were.
Did you ever see the 1987 National Aerobic Championships brought to you by Crystal Light that were hosted by Alan Thicke?
Yes.
Okay. The reason I bring it up is that watching the dance stuff, it sort of reminded me of that because I had these aerobic stuff going on in the background. Did you ever take a gig like that and immediately regret it or look back on it a few years later and regret it?
There were a lot.
Because you were a working actor, but you also got to pay the bills and pay the rent.
Exactly. When I became an actor, I wanted to cure cancer with my acting.
Right.
But I ended up doing musicals, and there's very few musicals you can cure cancer with. So.
Actually, none come to mind.
Yeah.
Right. So I ended up doing these silly hunky roles and everything. But then, you know, then you keep on doing them. Back in the day, now we have likes and how many followers you have, right, like on Facebook. Back in the day in the 80s, before the internet and everything, there was a Q rating.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the Q rating would say, okay, how many actors do we have that has a 80 Q rating and this and that? Okay, we're going to bring him in to pair with the lady who has this Q rating and stuff like that. So you're a victim of the system at that time, and all you can do is just hope and pray that you can get decent scripts.
If you're just tuning in, Adrian Zemed is here performing in Middletown at the Delaware Theater Company. That's going on through the 2nd, so get your tickets now, DelawareTheater.org. A lot of people texting in about various parts of your career since we're talking about that, Adrian. And somebody, the top text here says, poor man's Travolta, my ass.
Yeah.
He made Bachelor Party, which is an absolute, it's one of my favorite films, and you have one of the best lines in the movie. I think, personally, me and my friends still say it from time to time when the moment is right. I only have a part of it, but you're talking to Tom Hanks' character,
mm-hmm,
and I'm sure you probably know what I'm going to refer to.
Drunken guys, drunken college kids come up to me all the time and say, say it, man. Say it.
So you're like, I wish somebody I could love.
Tom was jealous that I had all the quotable lines in the show. I mean, I know which one you're going to bring up, but I had several.
Yeah, I had several. I'll just play the short part of the clip, which is this.
Hey, look at the cans on that pinball.
Well, you're telling him, man, I really would love to have a relationship.
I would love to have this relationship that you have, and someday I'll have kids and be happy. And, hey, look at the cans on that pinball.
And that's, honestly, you are so damn funny in that.
God.
You know, in the opening sequence where you're the photographer to the kid's photographer, this busty MILF comes in. And people don't remember, I was reminding Preston this morning, you actually go over and you start to get in the picture and you actually push the kid out of the way.
We put him down to go to sleep. And we're posing on the girl's breasts and everything like that. You know, that movie, Tom and I lived very close to each other. So we lived in Studio City, and the soundstage that we were shooting this at was in Culver City. So it was a pretty good distance to go on the 405 freeway.
And you, so you've been on Bosom Buddies, right?
Yes, yeah, yes, so yes. Know. I played Johnny Midnight, his boyhood friend from camp.
So you knew him?
Yeah. And we'd carpool to work because we could go in the carpool lane and everything. And as every day after we get in the car and go, our careers are over. Our careers are really over. What are we doing?
Yeah.
This is going to be terrible.
Yeah. No.
All we did was show up for 13 hours a day and goof off.
Yeah.
Almost nothing of what the script originally was in there. We just ad-libbed. We just goofed off. And honestly, some of the funniest scenes in the movie never made it into the movie because we had gotten an X rating.
It was rated X?
Wow. Back then, the ratings were a lot stiffer.
I want to see that
version.
Can they
go back and do that?
It pushed us over into an X, so they had to edit a lot of scenes. Everything you saw, like in Something About Mary and stuff, we did that. We did all that stuff, 15 years before that.
I mean, there's a horse scene. There's a horse.
A donkey show.
Let me tell you about this. Yeah.
The donkey actually died.
What?
They brought him back to life.
No.
They literally shot him with some shot of something for him to go, and then he keeled over, and his heart stopped.
Oh, my God.
And we've got all these people, there's like 100 extras. Many of, the girls are half naked and everything. We're all standing there going, oh, my God, they killed the donkey.
Oh. Dear Lord.
You resurrected a donkey, Adrian Zeman?
And they did the whole adrenaline thing, They put the in his heart, and he came back.
Because the donkey in the movie is, and we're showing the scene, is lapping up a whole bunch of the drugs that are on the table.
It's up snorting cocaine.
Tony Alessandrilli, that girl, she was one of the top burlesque strippers in the country.
Thank you. I knew she was someone special because I was a young man when I saw that. And dear Lord, she was one of the sexiest women I've ever seen. So the movie, the guys behind her, like Pat Proft, who did the Police Academy
movies. Great guys. Yeah.
And Israel was, I forget the guy's director.
Neil Israel.
Right. These guys were doing all of that next wave of comedy that became iconic stuff to us.
Yeah.
And Bachelor Party is at the forefront of, I mean, there is so much that is wrong in this movie.
I'm sorry to hear all the laughing in the background, but the scene is playing on our monitor right now.
He literally snorted, the donkey snorts. Three lines of coke.
You definitely could.
It's a real good kids movie. I'm really proud.
You're thinking your career is over. But no.
Honestly, when we saw the first cut, it was like, Tom and I looked at each other. This is funny.
Yeah.
What the hell happened?
Is there any chance you could go back and re-release a director's cut by any chance? Or is it too late?
Back then, they didn't save that kind of footage.
Oh. Yeah, now they do all the time.
And they do it all the time because of everything they do. But honestly, there was one scene that was absolutely hysterical. So the bachelor, the party's not going very well. The hookers haven't showed up. We're sitting in the hotel room looking at a Shirley Temple movie.
Right,
and it's just not going well.
The hookers go to the wrong.
Right.
Yeah.
So then I say, Rick, let's go downstairs and get something to eat. I'm hungry. So we get into the. I'm not going to do this. Say this on radio. This was cut. Yeah. I said, sit in this booth. This is the best booth in the place. So he sits in there. And all of a sudden, you hear a zipper sound. His eyes light up.
Right.
There's a girl underneath who is
taking care of
going to give him a happy ending of some sort. Mm-hmm. So I, saying, my gift to you.
Yeah.
And we see the minister who's going to marry him walk into the restaurant and go, oh, father, over here. Come on, over here. Yeah. So he comes to the edge and he starts having a conversation with us. And Tom's going, oh, Jesus. Oh, mother of God. Oh, Mother Mary and Joseph. Oh, he's writhing and everything. And I say, he always says grace before he eats. So.
that's great.
He can't take it anymore. He gets up and runs out. And I said, Father, sit here. It's the best seat in the house. Oh. Close up on his face, you hear the zipper sound, and his eyes go up.
That's great.
Didn't make it in the movie. Oh, we had offended everybody else. They didn't want to offend the Catholics.
It's so freaking funny.
You and Tom were friends. Could you tell then what a talent he was what he was going to go on to
be? And honestly, one of the nicest guys in the business. That's... Everything that's ever happened to him, he deserves every bit of it. He's a great, great guy.
That's great.
Very talented.
Wow.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask
you. A lot of people don't know this, but Tom was not originally cast in that role, and neither was Tawny Kitaen.
Tawny Kitaen was the it girl of the time, and she was the White Snake videos. It predates, the White Snake video.
Who was?
Well, we shot 1 month with the other cast.
Who was it?
Oh, no way.
It was Paul Reiser.
Really?
And Kelly McGinnis.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, did they get fired?
Well, the producers just felt there wasn't a chemistry going on and everything. And Tom, they had just seen a screening of Splash.
Okay. Oh.
And they said, we really need to get that guy. That's for this.
I couldn't even imagine. And Paul Reiser's talented, man, but he's great. He just doesn't have the kinetic.
He was very funny.
Was he?
He was very funny. Yeah. There just wasn't a chemistry that was going on.
That's happened before. Back to the Future. Eric Stoltz was, they filmed for quite a while with him in the lead role. And
the scene where he falls and hits his head, that's Eric Stoltz's head. When he falls out of the tree, bonks his head on the...
I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's Eric Stoltz.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Did not know that.
It's if you've never seen Bachelor Party, and it's worth going back for a visit. A number of people also texting in asking if we're going to bowl tonight, Adrian.
You know, it's funny. I've had the great fortune and lucky to have two cult classic movies that are really, they're targeting completely different people.
Yeah.
And it's just really kind of cool after all these years. You know, in theater, which is really my first love, and that's why I still do theater. If I'm going to be doing television and film, I'd rather be behind the camera these days. But if I'm going to act, I'd rather be on a stage.
Because I could
that
see
that is the actor's medium. It's it's electric. It's like a drug.
Yeah.
Grease 2, it was an opportunity to put almost – it was my Danny Zuko that I put on film.
Right, because you weren't. They had to create another character, which is basically Danny Zuko.
Yeah,
And it was a weird thing because you had Grease comes out. You have Travolta's on a meteoric rise. You have Olivia Newton-John. You have all these big stars in it, and then they go with Grease 2, and they cast not unknowns, but
they actually did something really kind of took a big chance.
Yes,
in what they did, they did not. It was very unique what they did. They also created a musical that was never a proven hit on Broadway.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So none of these songs had ever been heard. It didn't have a track record or anything. And a lot of people, you know, Grease 1 obviously was a massive, huge success. But Grease 2 didn't actually do badly. In its theatrical release, it made about $80 to $100 million.
I watched
at that time. And people think that it wasn't as big a hit. But today, it outrents and outsells Grease 1.
Really?
It's more kid-friendly, and it's actually more of the essence of what Grease, the original Broadway show, was about. Hmm. It was about all the T-Birds. It was about all the Pink Ladies, whereas the movie of Grease became a vehicle for John and Olivia.
Mm-hmm.
In the play, Kinnicky sings Grease Lightning, not Danny.
That's true.
It's his car.
Yeah.
Everybody has had a song in the Broadway show to tell you their story, and that's what. So it's more of an ensemble piece. And Grease 2 was directed by Pat Birch, who was the choreographer of the Broadway show. So she wanted me to do that role badly because they wanted to put a rock star in that role because there weren't any known faces. Michelle had just done, I think, Hollywood Nights.
This is Michelle Pfeiffer.
With Tony Danza.
Right, right.
At that point, it wasn't a big hit or anything like that.
I remember.
And Maxwell Caulfield was not, he was an English actor, but hadn't done much. And they really wanted a rock star in that role. But Pat wanted me to do it. So she strategically brought me in. After they would see like one of like Casey and the Sunshine Boys or one of the Gibb brothers or whatever. And then I went in and said, all right, it's still his. Until after 12 callbacks, they finally said, it's his role.
Well, honestly, I watch it every time it's on. It has a good energy to it. You're, again, sort of a self-deprecating, funny guy. The whole bowling sequence is pretty, you know, it's you can't help but get swept up in it, and it has its own energy. And to this point, you had a lot of talented people involved with it.
Yeah, a lot of people came out of that that thing. Even the Seagal twins went on. The girls who were the cheerleaders went on to have their own series.
And Dee Dee Calm was the only member.
Carryover.
What's that?
Yeah, she was a carryover from the first one. Yeah.
And is she still in this performance in Middletown that you're in?
Yes, she is.
And
she
not
is.
Only that, but Anson Williams is as well.
Yeah,
and Potsy from Happy Days.
Yeah, and Sally Struthers. Is also in it. I actually did Grease with Sally here.
Really?
In Philadelphia. We came through many times. We did the Tommy Toon reversion in the 90s. And I think we were here through Philadelphia several times.
Wow.
Wilmington several times and all. But go ahead.
So, well, you have a lot of fans in Philadelphia. And to prove that, I'm gonna show something to you. I don't know if anybody has made you aware of this or not. But I think Steve made an offhand comment one day about somebody getting an Adrian Zemed tattoo. So we do this feature every Tuesday called Tattoozay. People come in and actually get a tattoo from our show. It's called The Preston and Steve. They'll get a tattoo with us in it. And we've been doing it for years and years and years. We had a guy who called in and volunteered to get an Adrian Zemed tattoo.
God, I'm looking at it right now.
This is a guy. That's your face on his right pec. It's huge. This was within the last year.
Within the last year.
That we
and
had
the guy
this done.
Eagerly came in.
Please tell me that that's not permanent.
That's permanent.
It is.
That's a real tattoo on this man's
chest. So when
chest.
He's 90 years old and I look 90 on his chest,
yes.
What was I thinking?
So we took a picture of you from Grease 2, and that is now permanently on this guy's chest, Adrian.
Now, this reminds me of something that Sally Struthers said about tattoos back when we were doing Grease. She said, "Oh yeah. Back in the 60s, I was a flower child. I got a tattoo of a butterfly on my butt. Now it's going into its cocoon."
That's hilarious.
So you do indeed have some rabid fans here in Philadelphia.
But honestly, it's a great show, and it's a magical cast. I mean, we're having a lot of fun with it.
That's great.
It's we grab everybody, and it's very funny in the beginning, but then it gets pretty serious in the middle there. And it's a show about saying we've got to stop and smell the flowers. We have to like grab the moment.
It's a good message.
It's at the end of the show. It's like it makes you say we've got to do the things now that we're going to regret that we didn't do.
Right. Yeah. A number of texts are coming in of people who did see it at the Bucks County Playhouse and absolutely loved it. So now it's moved to the Delaware Theater Company. And you can get tickets. The show is only through the 2nd, so you got this weekend, and that's it. And DelawareTheater.org is how you can order those. So I recommend
it. It's a win-win all the way around.
Yeah. Well, we are so delighted that you had a chance to come by here. We are big fans.
Nice to come in.
We knew you'd be great.
Yeah, we knew you'd be cool. That's great, man. Excellent.
It's my pleasure.
And you know what? We should do a promotion where we go bowling with Adrian sometime.
Yeah.
How cool would that be? Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, some love for Adrian's man.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. We'll take a break and we'll be back in just a moment. Make sure you stay with us. Hey, gang, we need your blood. It's time to roll up your sleeve for the I Bleed for Preston and Steve blood drive, Saturday, June 15th.
Last year was the second largest blood drive in the nation, and with your help, it'll be number one this year.
So we're headed to the Greater Philadelphia Expo Center in Oaks for this year's drive with kids' activities from Aim High Studio and Paint a Treasure Ceramics, plus Rita's Water Ice and Alex's Lemonade Stand.
The Red Cross is always in need, especially leading into the summer months, so make an appointment now at WMMR.com.
All donors get the newest Preston and Steve t-shirt and this year's pint glass from Window Nation.
Hundreds of donors will be randomly selected for free tickets to one of these concerts at the BB&T Pavilion, the Smashing Pumpkins, and Noel Gallagher on August 8th.
Or Alice Cooper and Hailstorm on August 16th. Tickets for these shows are on sale now at Ticketmaster.com.
Our 14th annual I Bleed for Preston and Steve Blood Drive.
From the American Red Cross Penn Jersey Blood Services Region.
And 93.3 WMMR, putting Philly first.
We have guests in the studio to promote an event, but I must get to the Bizarre File stories first.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Preston and Steve's Bizarre File.
All right, we'll begin with this gentleman in northern Michigan. He's accused of robbing a Walmart store, but he did it 3 times in one night.
Mm-hmm.
He stole about $6,000 worth of merchandise. A guy named Matthew Brown was charged with first-degree retail fraud. So If he's convicted, he faces up to 5 years in prison. Now, Brown first entered the Walmart about 1:30 a.m. on March 22nd. He stole some electronic items. He dragged the items to his car, parked in the store's lot, loaded them up, and then drove away. But police say he wasn't done yet, so he allegedly returned to the store 20 minutes later.
Don't they say they never returned to the scene of the crime?
Yeah, not this guy. But he took more electronic items, put them in a shopping cart this time to make things easier.
Well, you gotta shop.
Left without paying, and again, he loaded the items into his car and drove away. He wasn't finished after that. Brazenly, he returned to the store a third time and took more merchandise without paying for it. Officials said in a statement that the items Brown allegedly took included 3 50 to 65-inch TVs, a drone, an AT&T cell phone, a computer building kit, a flashlight, a Schwinn bicycle.
A Schwinn bicycle. Let me ask you something. Do they have a security system there at Walmart?
That's a good question. He also took an HP Pavilion desktop computer, PS4 racing wheel, and a Western Digital 6TB hard drive.
Is it just the honor system?
Maybe it is at this particular store. I'm not sure. Troopers reviewed the store security system footage.
They do have one. It works really well, obviously.
They interviewed witnesses. They identified Brown as the suspect. They went to his house, and they found much of the stolen property and found more of it in his vehicle as well.
There was something similar that happened to the Walmart down in Springfield where the guy just kept going in and taking TVs.
Yeah.
I guess he took the first TV and was like, whoa, this was really easy.
Easier than I thought.
And he just kept going back, and then eventually he ended up getting pinched.
Yep. Here's another story. This is a trial. I believe this is in Japan. Trial of a 44-year-old man who stands accused of confining and assaulting his 36-year-old wife in their apartment after he had learned that she had been sabotaging his attempts to become a YouTuber for over a half a year.
Now, she was sabotaging his YouTube dreams?
I'll explain. Yeah, prior to the incident, the man began posting videos highlighting some of the city's restaurants and sightseeing spots and collecting revenue from the number of views that he got on YouTube. However, in addition to clicks, he was also getting several offensive and negative comments, such as, you idiot and baldy. And in March of this year, he learned that it was his own wife who was typing the insults and found out
how could you?
That she had asked acquaintances to leave offensive comments as well. Enraged by the discovery, the man bound his wife's arms and legs with whatever he could find, such as tape, and then he allegedly kicked her, caused injuries.
Wow.
During the trial, the man admitted to the attack, and both sides rested their cases that same day, with the prosecution requesting a 3-year prison sentence on this guy. The ruling in the case is coming down on June 2nd. We'll see what he ends up getting. Yeah.
Going and Baldy?
Yeah, exactly. Two high school seniors, Taylor Broderson and Jimmy Liu, were preparing for a joint graduation party this weekend when something went horribly awry. The 600 chicken fingers that Taylor had ordered from the Maple Grove Raising Cane's restaurant, they discovered, had been picked up by somebody else.
Oh, dear God.
600 chicken fingers. The party started
Shall we call this the crime of the century?
I think you would. Thank you, Gene Simmons.
600 chicken fingers.
The party started in an hour. Taylor said it was kind of a shock, like someone stole our chicken.
He's right.
Taylor's dad, Shane, was suddenly an unprepared host.
He summed it up pretty well.
He had nothing to feed his 300 guests. He said, I
reviewed the crime footage. It appears someone stole your chicken fingers.
Shane said, I never made a contingency plan for stolen chicken. And Jimmy...
Why would you make a plan for stolen chicken?
Jimmy said, what would you do with all those chicken fingers?
Good question, Jimmy.
Jane Broderson didn't file a police report, and Raising Cane's hasn't either, though a spokesperson said they've investigated what happened. The manager said...
This goes deeper.
The manager actually did make sure that Broderson got 600 new chicken fingers in order to feed the graduation party. He started them off with 200 right away and fed 400 more in an hour.
I got some information from a man named Deep Beak in a parking garage.
Deep Beak.
I know what happened to your chicken fingers. Do tell.
All right. This is, you guys may have heard this. I love this story. Some meetings are truly faded. A guy named Ben Cordenton from London was scrolling through Facebook when he spotted a Canadian guy that looked like him, had the same name, and was dressed as a banana that popped into his suggested friends area. So the 21-year-old sparked up a conversation as he happens to own the same banana suit as this guy. They look alike. They have the same name. They both own a banana suit.
And Facebook helped facilitate this friendship.
Somehow or another. And they found that they were both...
You might like this other banana idiot.
They were aspiring comedians who loved rap music and video games. Their birthdays are just a week apart. Within 5 days of this happening, they planned a get-together, and Cordington flew to Toronto to meet this guy.
Wouldn't it be great if when they meet, they end up hating each other, killing each other?
He actually says they got on like a house on fire. So I guess that's a British term or something along those
lines. For bananas.
Yeah, for bananas, I guess, anyhow. But they ended up having a lovely time. Kind of a bizarre confluence of events that brought those guys together. And there you go. That's what I have for you in the bizarre file this morning. All right. Our next guest is here to tell us about an event that's coming up tomorrow. And there's so much going on with this that I'm a little confused by it. So I'm glad she's here. But it's one that will be a lot of fun. But I'm looking at this list of things that's going to be going on.
I don't know where to start.
So let's please welcome the vice president of the board of CF Charities. This is Kelly Kaplan.
Yeah. Who is here.
Hello, Kelly.
Hi, how are you?
Nice. I'm doing well. Nice to see you.
Good, thank you. Thank you.
Okay, so tell us, number one, tell us about CF Charities for those who may not be familiar.
CF Charities is an organization that we started about 15 years ago to basically give a bridge or a pathway for kids looking to go to careers in college.
Okay. And they need financial assistance, guidance?
We do everything. Okay. We do scholarships. We do mentoring programs. We do backpacks, school supplies, scrubs for kids in STEM programs. We do the college signing day.
Okay. So anything that's going to help facilitate them get in
to
an education. That's because a lot of times certain charities focus in on one thing in particular. And this you're sort of filling in the gaps on multiple things to help them get to where they're going.
Correct.
That's awesome.
Okay, so the now the gala is on Saturday. In fact, it's is it Saturday and Sunday?
We have
The super car show.
We have an amazing amount of things going on. We yesterday we had a track day.
Okay.
At New Jersey Motorsports. Tomorrow we have axe throwing for people that are coming into town from all over the country.
So when people come in, they get axes thrown at them.
Pretty much.
No, okay.
You never know.
So by the way, this is going to be at the Bellevue Hotel. Just a heads up on that.
Right.
So.
Then we have the Bellevue Hotel. We have the gala Saturday night where we feature our lip sync battle.
Which is like the big competition.
So celebrities, right? Participating.
Okay, so the lip sync battle. Last year we had Rodney McLeod and Trey Sullivan. This year, Trey Sullivan put together an NFL team of lip syncers. They're going to battle a local TV personality, Bob Kelly.
Yes, we know Bob.
Also another local radio personality. Maybe next year you guys like to get a team together. That'd be really awesome.
Yeah, maybe if you would ask us ahead of time.
Yeah. I'm asking like you that. Now. How about a year? And then Sunday we have our 7th annual Supercar Show at the Wells Fargo Center. It's from 10 to 2 on Sunday, June 2nd. It's $5.
No, your husband is a...
Car fanatic.
Is he a Ferrari guy or a Lamborghini guy? Or
he
both?
He is probably more of a Ferrari guy.
Okay, so when you go to this show on Sunday at the Wells Fargo Center, it's Ferraris, Lamborghinis, like all those types of supercars, right?
All the Ganinis, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Does somebody buy like a one-time ticket for all this stuff, or are each of these separate?
There have been people that have bought a ticket that's a VIP, includes all the passes.
Are they still available?
At this point, our gala is sold out.
Okay.
Axe throwing is also sold out, and our track day yesterday was sold out.
All right. So what is available?
Right now available is the car show on Sunday. That is $5 if you get the tickets online at cfcharities.org or $10 at the door that day.
Now that's nothing to sneeze at, too, but the car show is massively impressive.
The car show is crazy.
Yeah.
The car show, we have hypercars, we have supercars, we have muscle cars, we have a muscle car competition. We have motorcycles signed on this year. Harley Davidson Corporation and Barb's Harley are bringing in a simulator. So if you've never ridden a Harley, you can get on this Harley. It's basically a stationary Harley. You can run through the gears and get the feel of riding Harley Davidson.
It's got training wheels.
Training wheels.
Where is the car show?
The car show's at the Wells Fargo. Okay. It's on all the parking lots of the Wells Fargo Center. We have autocross there. We have there's a bike competition.
And $5 gets you in?
$5 will get you in online, $10 at the door, free parking all day.
All right.
Any idea how many cars are involved in this?
We've had probably in excess of maybe 400 supercars come in. And then the muscle cars, maybe 100, 150. We might do better this year with the muscle cars. We're hoping to get some rat rods coming in.
I don't even know what that is.
A rat rod is like a modification on a car where you basically take a car which you might have thought was, you know, ready for the junk.
Yeah.
And the inside of it is completely modded out and it runs like a person.
Like a Pinto or a Gremlin or
usually, I haven't seen any rat rod Pintos. I think probably all went on fire by this
point. Yeah.
But there's a lot of trucks usually that they rat rod and do a modification on. We also have a fair amount of hypercars coming in. A hypercar is a car that goes over 250 miles an hour.
Okay.
We have some of them coming in. You'll see maybe you would see in your lifetime one. We probably have 10 coming in. We also have the debut of the SSC Teltura, which is will be this summer the fastest production car to record. It's supposed to be tested this summer at 300 miles an hour.
Yeah, these are cars would the odds of you seeing just one in a lifetime is fairly nominal. You can see a whole bunch for that one admission price. That's pretty extraordinary.
Yeah, I see behind you have the screen with the that was last year's show. That's a Bugatti. I think we have 4 Bugattis coming in this year, which most people get lucky if they see one.
Yeah.
And then we have a lot of cars. Like we have a McLaren's coming in.
McLaren's a great car. But the McLaren's one that has the center seat, right? So there's one
seat. They do make a version of that, where it sits in the center, yeah.
Yeah, Ferrari has one of those, too. You know, if one of them has it, the other one has it,
okay.
too.
Right. Cool. Were you always a car person, or did your husband on his hobby as well?
I was never a fast car person. I like muscle cars. I mm-hmm. still have my original 77 Trans Am.
Yeah. Wow.
And my husband has his original 67.
Okay.
SS Impala.
Yeah.
So I guess we sort of came together with cars, but I'm more of a park and pretty.
Uh-huh.
I
mean, okay.
I like to go and, you know, chat with people, see the owners, listen to the cars. It's, you know, kind of visceral, the sounds of all these cars. But as far as going on a track and going 200 miles an hour, that's really not.
Not your deal.
Not my deal.
All right. Mm-hmm.
Understood.
No, it's a little scary.
Well, it's looks like the weather's going to cooperate. I know you guys are probably being going, what's going to happen? The last few days have been horrible, but
well,
it looks good this
weekend.
We actually
swear that it never rains at our event. It might rain. Never. It might rain like at the end when we're kind of packing cars away. But,
yeah.
But it's never actually rained on our event.
Well, the odds are very good for you this time around as well. So
I'm hoping. Thank
God. So this is
thank
like
you guys.
For car people, this is like porn, man.
Yeah.
Think about this.
This is car everything.
Well, maybe next year you do porn.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you like convention. Wheels to the Road, this is the car. This is the show to go to.
Okay.
That's awesome.
So cfcharities.org is where you can get the $5 ticket. But if you're there, $10. I mean, come on.
$10.
You know?
And it's an outdoor event. So we have people bringing their kids. You know, all the owners of the cars pretty much drive these cars in.
Mm-hmm. Lots of food as well?
Xfinity Live will be open, so there'll be food and the lavatories will be open for them. And, it's just, it's a great event because it's, you have so many car people that come in. And, you know, these guys with these cars, some of them are $4 or $5 million, these cars.
Yeah.
And they're right there. They want you to see the car. That we've had people people sit in the cars. You can go up and talk to the owners. They'll turn them on so you can hear them. It's very, you know.
You can talk to the cars.
You can talk to. We have people talk to the cars. We have people take pictures of the cars. It's really, it's a great event. And the people that come to the event, the people that bring the cars are just honestly so giving to our charity. It's crazy. We've given out probably, last year we gave out over 70 scholarships to kids in the Philadelphia, Baltimore, and Camden area.
Wow.
So this year I have my first graduate of the kids that I mentor. I'm an ex-probation officer.
Yeah.
So I mentor kids in Camden and in Kensington, and my first graduate from college is going to be in July.
Very nice. Very nice.
Congratulations. Yeah, that's great. Cool. Excellent. All right. Well, we will point people in the direction. If you need to get information on this, if you didn't get a chance to write it down, you can just go to PrestonSteve.com. We got a link right there for it. But cfcharities.org. And it's going on this weekend.
Thank you.
And we wish you luck with everything.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And if you guys, honestly, can get a team together next year, mm-hmm. I'll pick the song.
Nice. All right. Thank you. Kelly Kaplan, guys.
Yay!
We're going to take a break and we'll be back in a second. Make sure you stay close.
Stream WMMR anywhere you have an internet connection. Check out the mobile app or go to WMMR.com. You'll figure it out from there.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Hopefully you never feel your age. It's a kind of a good thing. Hey, we're looking for Henderson High School in Westchester. Let us know who the coolest teacher of the year was, and it's pretty simple. You just text the word teacher, followed by the teacher's name, who you want to nominate. 239-333. One vote per phone number. You get the weekend. In a little bit, I'm not going to do it right now because we're going to do the lesson question, but I will do some more giveaways. Our friends at Sterling Pig Brewery are here this morning. They've been serving up food from their new location, by the way, Public House. In Westchester, the original location.
Yes.
Sterling Pig Brewery is in Media, but they've got a new location in Westchester. And you go to sterlingpig.com. We'll do some giveaways in a little while. The food is great. The beer is wonderful. And Philly Beer Week starts. In fact, opening tap is today.
Unbelievable.
I know all these things are happening, man. We're getting into that. We're getting into that time of year where it's just event after event after event. And it's a wonderful thing because if you're looking for stuff to do, there's certainly a surplus of it available. Not unlike the Sea of Charities events that are going on this weekend. And we just had Kelly in for.
Well, the weather's going to be good for all this stuff. So
Yeah, most definitely. We're going to do the lesson question, as I said, and we are going to give away a family four-pack of Thursday, Friday, or Sunday passes to Wizard World Philadelphia. And Nick wasn't kidding. He wrote down a lot of Rambo stuff. And I have a lot to choose from. And I think, man, oh, man, this is great. There's so many good ones here. What dental product would Rambo use to kill a lot of people? And I need the brand name, all right? 215-263-WMMR. What dental product would Rambo use to kill a lot of people? 215-263-WMMR. Let's see if you can get it right. I'll go through the other ones after we get the answer because there's so many of them. But while you're calling in, we're going to do the trash.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
All right, Steve, what stories you got for us today?
Well, Jennifer Lopez and Alex Rodriguez saying their wedding is not going to be a huge, super expensive spectacle. In fact, Lopez and A-Rod plan on having some fun getting married by Elvis. Not an impersonator, but a genetically cloned duplicate of the original. Rachel Weisz is reportedly keeping in close proximity to her husband Daniel Craig after recent incidents in which his female fans got a little too aggressive. Weisz has even shortened the length of the strap-on she uses when pegging him.
Oh my God.
Lord. Just to be closer. Yes. And finally, according to Women's Day magazine, George Clooney is wasting away and looking emaciated after going on a new diet. As per the diet, Clooney is only allowed to eat when someone tells him they loved his 2009 movie, Men Who Stare at Goats. And that's your Hollywood Trash.
All right, thank you. Was that movie horrible? I never saw it. I didn't even give it a time, the time of day.
Not good.
Okay, yeah. All right. Pegging. Looks like only the guys are laughing, and you're the only one who knows what pegging is.
Take note of this. Eggs with pegging for next year.
Steve said it while we were at the event. Yeah.
All right,
let's go to the phones and see if we can get an answer to this question. What dental product would Rambo use to kill a lot of people? 215-263-WMMR. Going to John. Hey, John, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right, John, what dental product would Rambo use to kill a lot of people?
He would use his Quip toothbrush.
Quip. Yeah. You got it. Hang on a second, John. Get your information. Going to set you up with a family four-pack of Thursday, Friday, or Sunday passes to Wizard World Philadelphia, courtesy of Wizard World. Gear up for a fun-filled weekend as Wizard World Philadelphia comes to the Pennsylvania Convention Center June 13th to the 16th. You can meet celebrities from Supergirl, Gotham, and more. Kids 10 and under are free. Visit wizardworld.com for information. All right, so here's a few of the other questions that didn't make it on. What did Rambo order at Dairy Queen?
A blizzard?
Yeah. Okay. Chocolate blizzard with Jimmy's. What does Rambo put on at night to exfoliate?
It's a beauty mask?
Even we're terrible at this. How about that? Yeah, it is a beauty mask. All right. Who's coming after Rambo this time?
Oh, the Shriners?
Yes, the Shriners. In order to kill them, how did Rambo invite all the cartel people over?
Was it Evite?
An Evite, yes. What would get Buffalo Bill Weston killed in Vietnam?
Is gesticulating?
Hand gestures, yes. And then the last question was, at Rambo's retirement community, what's the early bird special for brunch?
Death?
Death.
That was an extended bit there.
Well, the new Rambo trailer is out, so we had to go there. All right, we're going to get to music news.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
All righty. Let's begin. We're going to start with this. Okay, so we'd heard this story yesterday and found out, I guess it was a joke. Corey Taylor, Slipknot. Jokingly claimed to have suffered an unfortunate injury less than a month after undergoing surgery on both knees. He posted on Twitter on Wednesday that he, quote, blew out a testicle while practicing vocals for the band's upcoming world tour.
Oh, my balls! Mm-hmm.
Which begins next week in Finland. Taylor wrote, working on my 87 docking high notes this morning, effed around and blew out my left testicle. Careful on reentry, kids. And then he added the hashtags kiss of death and pissin' blood. He had undergone surgery on both knees earlier in the month, but recovered in time to appear with Slipknot on Jimmy Kimmel, and he also played a solo show 2 days later.
Well, it's common when you have knee surgery, they go in through your balls.
actually work on it. Yeah. He also, if you didn't recall, he had emergency surgery on his neck and spine 3 years ago. So,
have you ever peed blood?
I have. Scared the hell out of me.
So when I had the biopsy for the prostate, oh my God, that's a wake up when you look down and blood's coming out.
Yeah, but nothing had happened to me, and I peed blood, and I'm like,
hey, what?
I called the hospital. Or I called the doctor immediately, and they said to make sure it doesn't happen again. And if it did, to come in. Fortunately, it didn't, but it was scary, dude.
Absolutely,
blood.
You're used to seeing pee come out.
Yes, normally, that's where the pee comes out.
Right, yeah. Not blood. It was that's blood. Supposed to stay in.
Yeah. Green Day frontman Billy Joel Armstrong has announced that there will be 5 headline California shows for his side band, The Long Shot, June 7th and 8th in Oakland, and includes stops in Pioneer Town, Los Angeles, and Santa Ana. He unveiled the band last year, a 4-piece, who released their debut album, Love is for Losers, in April of last year. He's had a few side projects as well. This is sad news. You guys know who, I know you know who he is, Steve, but do you guys know who Leon Redbone is?
Yeah.
Nope.
Yeah. He was a singer-guitarist. You'd probably know him if you saw him. You definitely would know him if you heard him. In fact, he has a small role in the movie Elf, if you remember. He's the snowman. He's the voice of the snowman when Will Ferrell goes, hey, Leon.
Oh, he's the Burl. Is that Burl Ives?
The Burl Ives type character.
Oh, he was on the early years of SNL. He was always very dapper in sort of a white suit and had a goatee, Preston, was it?
Yeah, goatee and hats, fedora and glasses. Yeah. And the first time I came to know him, Steve, was actually through Budweiser commercials.
Yeah.
He did the Budweiser jingle.
He did.
And the way he would sing was like this.
Well, right? That's how Casey knows one of his songs, because he sang the theme to Mr. Belvedere.
Wait.
Yeah.
What song? How's it go?
Never matter before.
No kid.
Who cares?
Yeah, we played it several times on our show. And do you know that he passed away in New Hope?
No.
Yeah, that's where he lived towards the end of his life. He was in New Hope, PA, and that's where he died this week.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
No details about his death provided in the story I saw.
New Hope Cheesecake Factory. I love it.
Redbone's career got a boost in the early 1970s when Bob Dylan met him and praised his performance. Dylan said that if he had ever started a record label, he would have signed Redbone. He said, Leon interests me. This is in an interview he did in 1974 with Rolling Stone.
This is Dylan?
Yes, yeah, Bob Dylan. He said, I've heard he's anywhere from 25 to 60 years old. He said, I've been a foot and a half from him and I can't tell, but you got to go see him. He does old Jimmy Rogers and then turns around and does Robert Johnson. And Dylan wasn't the only one who didn't know Redbone's real age, since the performer never directly answered questions about his origin or age. The Thursday statement announcing his death explained this. It said, Leon Redbone crossed the Delta for that beautiful shore at the age of 127. He departed our world with his guitar, his trusty companion Rover, and the simple tip of his hat.
He was very much about style.
Yeah, and he definitely had his own style.
Yeah.
He retired from performing in 2015 because his health had been a matter of concern for some time, the spokesman said, and it was too challenging for him to continue the full range of professional activities. He released his debut album on the track in it was called On the Track in 1975, and he had made 16 albums throughout his career. So,
but sad, cites yeah. Mr. Belvedere as his biggest achievement.
I do not know, but you never know.
That was a funny show.
He also sang "Baby It's Cold Outside" with Zooey Deschanel and Elf. That's his singing voice.
Oh no, kid.
Yeah,
yeah. So he had his place, and he is dead.
He was on SNL a lot early in his career, and Johnny Carson loved him too.
Judas Priest singer Rob Halford kicked a cell phone out of a fan's hand during the band's May 25th concert in Rosemont, Illinois. The incident happened 6 songs in a Priest set at the Rosemont Theater, where the group was playing as part of its North American tour. According to the eyewitness accounts, Halford appeared frustrated that the fan had turned on the light on his camera while filming the show, making it harder for the singer to focus on his performance. As a result, Halford decided to kick the cell phone away while the band was playing the song Judas Rising. After footage of the incident went viral, Halford issued a statement in which he said, "The facts are we love our fans, and you can film us all you like and watch our show on your phone rather than in the flesh. However, if you physically interfere with the metal god's performance, you know what will happen." So he's not apologizing. He's just saying, you know.
Doesn't want the light in his face.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So he just, we're looking.
Boom. Yeah,
oh,
love
man,
it.
He kicked it all the way to the back of the theater, too. That's awesome. And one last story, Rage Against the Machine, Audio Slave, and Prophets of Rage guitarist Tom Morello is going to publish a book about his career. It's titled Whatever It Takes. It will be later this year through Genesis Publications. The signed limited edition book will explore Morello's entire career from his first band through his most recent solo album, The Atlas Underground. The exact publication date will be announced soon. In addition to touring behind his solo LP, Morello has shows scheduled this summer in Europe with Prophets of Rage, the group combined with members of Rage Against the Machine, Public Enemy, and Cypress Hill. Their second album is due out later this year as well. So a book is coming. And that is what I have for you in music news. And I have one last opportunity for you to win some $25 gift cards from our friends at Sterling Pig Brewery and Public House. So we will take callers 15, 16, and 17 at 215-263-WMMR, and I will set you up with those. And you can check out all the information that you need to know about Sterling Pig Brewery and Public House at sterlingpig.com. We are going to take a break. We will be back in a second. We'll get ready to wrap things up when we return. And our Word of the Week prize will be given away as well. Stay with us.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
Muse. Disturbed. Contours.
New music. More of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
10:38 a.m. on this Friday morning with the President and Steve Show. And we have a lot of thank yous to do because we've had a lot of people on the program. And we've had a lot of fun on today's program, too. And a lot of that fun came from number one, Chris Redd, who came by here.
Great guy. A lot of fun.
He was really great. And I really don't watch SNL, so I didn't know all his body of work. But just talking to him, he's hilarious.
He played Jussie Smollett in a great skit.
Oh, no.
It was just hilarious.
Wow.
And his star is rising.
One night only, 2 shows tonight at Punchline, 7:30 and 9:45. You can go to punchlinephilly.com. And I was blown away by Adrian's Med.
Yeah. He's exactly what we wanted.
He's exactly what
exactly.
We wanted. After all these years, we finally got him in here, and he did not disappoint. He's doing live theater, which he loves. He doesn't do TV or movies anymore. It's not his thing. He'd rather be behind the camera, like he said, but doing the stage work he loves, and he's at the Delaware Theater Company with this show, Middletown, which also stars Sally Struthers and Didi Khan and Anson Williams. And
come on.
Yeah.
Come on.
Well, and how weird, though, because up until yesterday, we were supposed to have Sally Struthers on. He wasn't even supposed to come in.
Yeah.
So it just kind of happened, had like such a great interview, and he was awesome. And you guys were, you know, excited to meet him.
DelawareTheater.org to get your tickets to that. And thank you to Kelly Kaplan, who came by of CF Charities. Their big car show is tomorrow. And you can get the tickets and information at cfcharities.org. If you wanted to see supercars and hypercars.
That's actually Sunday. The big gala.
Oh, I'm sorry. The gala's tomorrow.
Yeah, the big gala's tomorrow. And then the big car show is Sunday at the Wells Fargo.
I'm going to be right across the street. I'm doing the Take Steps Crohn's Walk.
On Sunday?
On Sunday.
There you go.
At Citizens Bank Park. So I could just mosey over there and take a look at these unbelievable vehicles. Wow.
Mosey away.
It's going to be a big, it's going to be a lot of activity down at the sports complex this weekend.
Lots of cars this to you.
Yeah. So, and in fact, you can join me. You can still get submission to the Take Steps Crohn's and Colitis Walk. Love for you to be there, and WMMR.com for more information. Me and my whole family will be there. My daughter has Crohn's disease, so this is very important to us.
This is, you do a number of events related to this, but this is the big one, right?
As far as the numbers go,
this is a MOF, and what's going on, it's just an incredible event.
Yeah, lots of music and food and tons of people, so come out and get details at WMMR.com if you need those. Thank you to Sterling Pig Brewery,
hey!
Public House, for being here. And there was so much information handed over. I didn't quite understand this. I had mentioned their Schott German Pilsner. Apparently that won the Brewvitational.
It won the Brewvitational.
So number one, they took the whole thing on that. So congratulations.
It took Bruce Place?
Bruce Place?
Yeah, you simply just apply Brew to everything. So. Yeah.
But anyhow, thank you for coming by and feeding us. You can go to sterlingpig.com for all information.
It occurs to me that invitational could be brewvitational or invibrutional or invitation brew. You could do anything with it.
You could do it all, man.
Yeah. Invitation brew.
That's why we live in America.
And let me see. Oh, before we get to the letter of the day and all that good stuff, one of our interns, it's her last day today. Yep, we got to send another one off. This is Gabby, everybody.
Gabby.
Your last day. It should be on.
Is the microphone on?
Yeah. I have it turned on here.
There we go.
All right, that's better. Hold on. Nick's going to help you. How long have you been an intern?
All right. What was that?
I said, how long have you been an intern?
Since January.
Okay. All right. And by the way, where do you go to school?
I went to Kutztown University. I just graduated this May.
Hey, congratulations.
Thank you.
That's awesome. By the way, I've never asked. I just always assumed your name was Gabriella.
Gabrielle. Yes.
Okay, nice. So you graduated with what kind of a degree?
Cinema, television, and media production.
Okay. What do you want to do with that?
Honestly, like, I really liked doing radio, and I think that's something I've always wanted to get into. Mm-hmm. And just
on the producing end, you said?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a wonderful thing to get into.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Honestly, like, I think learning, like, Marissa's role, I think I admire her so much, and she taught me so much, like, over the last few months about being here. And honestly, I really think, like, that's something I really want to get into.
Very cool.
Excellent.
Nice.
And she joined the MM Army, so you'll be seeing Gabby.
I'm so excited.
Yes.
Yeah. What's your first event coming up? Do you know?
It's supposed to be June 15th, I'm pretty sure.
Okay, but you don't know what it is just yet. They just have it on the calendar.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Nice. Well, have you enjoyed your time as a Press and Steve intern?
Yes, I loved it. Cool. It's honestly so awesome, and you guys are literally so awesome.
Oh, you're the best. Thank you. Well, yes. Does any event stand out in particular that's been fun, or have you gone to our events? We have so many.
Yes, the Cardboard Classic. I thought that was literally so cool.
It was so much fun.
It was my first time going and, like, even working and just being there and just being around the atmosphere. It was really enjoyable. I loved it a lot.
Nice. Well, you got many more to go if you're going to be in the MM Army.
Yes.
Cool. Good luck to you.
Thank you so much.
Have a great summer, and thanks for being a part of our family.
Thank you.
Gabrielle.
Yay!
Guys.
Gabby. Did a great job.
We know her is on her way now. And with that, out with the old, in with the new. Or is it out with the new and in with the old?
I think it's the latter.
I think
it's...
How are you, man?
Gramps is fine, thanks.
Excellent. Well,
you know what they say? You're only as old as the blood in your urine.
Wow. Yeah.
Hey, if you were indeed a grandfather, what would you want your grandchildren to call you? If you said Gramps, I couldn't see you being a Gramps or like a papa or what do you think?
I'd say, hey, mother effer.
Hey, mother effer.
Yeah. Just to drive your kids
crazy.
What was
crazy. The man and my little girls? Poppy? Was that what he
said? Poppy.
Yeah, hey, Poppy.
Hey, Poppy.
Yeah, no.
Pop-Pop?
No. No.
Pop.
No.
Big Daddy?
Grampy.
No.
Okay.
Gum-Gum.
No!
Yeah. Peepaw?
Peepaw?
You don't like any of them.
Yeah.
Ding, ding.
Do you want to be a mum-mum?
Maybe.
Shemp?
Sylvia.
We'll work. This is Grandpa Sylvia.
Text your suggestions to Pierre this afternoon.
Thank you.
What would his grandfather?
Don't worry about your favorite teacher, your favorite grandpa.
Yeah, your favorite grandpa handle. What would it be? Well, you know what? We've been chatting for a bit. Let's do our letter, and then we'll find out what you got in store. So here we go.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
And the Preston and Steve Show is brought to you today by the letter.
Yeah.
Yay for the letter.
Y is in yay. Or Yahoo. Or yellow. Or
caller
Yabba
seven.
Dabba Doo. Yeah.
Caller number 777-215-263 WMMR. You will get to take a crack at it. So hopefully you've been keeping track of the letters. We'll get you in, see if we can indeed get you a prize. We have a beautiful day in store, and I'm sure you got a beautiful show in store.
Thank you, sir. We have a Rolling Stones block in honor of Ronnie Wood's birthday tomorrow and Charlie Watts on Sunday. So the guitar player and the drummer of the Stones have a birthday one day apart. We got a block of the Struts, including some of the conversation from the MMRBQ that we had with the guys. And we have a cool event happening in Ardmore. It's their Unlimited Devotion Hippie Weekend, and they're bringing in once again the great Wavy Gravy. The
oh my god,
the
Woodstock
counterculture guru.
Yeah,
I mean he's such a wild guy. He's come in the last couple of years and chatted with me. We have a couple of pieces of very interesting tape from him, but he's a fascinating guy. He was the MC at Woodstock, and he's the guy that said, what we had in mind was breakfast in bed for 300,000 legendary.
His full name is Wavens Gravenstein.
Yes, it is. Yeah. But for, you know, media purposes, he showed it to Wavy Gravy.
He is the epitome of a character. And you're right. Just if you want a representation of what Woodstock and the spirit of the festival was about, that'd be him.
He also, though, has done amazing charity work over a number of years, helping kids with these kids' camps in the Bay Area in San Francisco. Ah. So he's a really good human being.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, great guy. So he will be honored, and at the Ardmore Music Hall, they got a big thing going. So that all leads us to a block of the Grateful Dead. So that will be our musical selections for the day, and it will be fun.
Love it. All right, let's see if we can give away this prize. We're looking for caller number 7, and that happens to be Steve. Hello there, Steve.
Hey, Preston. Gadzooks.
Gadzooks, sir. Do you know what the word of the week is?
Yes, it's beg.
Spell it. What was it again? Spell the word.
Bay, B-A-Y.
Grandpa Sylvia has a hard time hearing sometimes. Yes, right there in the morning. Yay!
I couldn't tell. You got it right, Steve. And that means that we have some VIP passes to Wizard World, Philadelphia, courtesy of Wizard World. So we'll be geared up for a great weekend as Wizard World Philly comes to the Pennsylvania Convention Center. June 13th to the 16th, get to meet celebrities from Supergirl, Gotham, and more. Kids 10 and under free. Visit wizardworld.com for more information. So hang on the line, Steve. We got those VIP tickets for you, and you will be good to go, my man. I want to thank our sponsors. The Preston and Steve Show is brought to you today by Acme, the official supermarket of the Preston and Steve Show. Also brought to you by Dunkin', the official coffee of the Preston and Steve Show. And brought to you by West Virginia Tourism.
Yeah!
It draws you in. Almost it pulls heaven. You back. It's pure and unspoiled. West Virginia, almost heaven.
So, it is beautiful if you've ever been.
And I'm going to do a last second giveaway. Casey what? Just handed this to me. How many should I do the rest of these?
Yeah, why not?
One.
Whatever.
Two. Three. All right. Three callers. You will get a pair of tickets to see Indiana Jones, Raiders of the Lost Ark, Saturday, June 15th at The Man. And you'll be able to watch the movie on the 40-foot screen paired with the epic score performed live by the Reading Symphony Orchestra.
That is awesome.
Three callers. All right, visit mancenter.org for tickets and info, or you can call 215-263-WMMR. If you're one of the first three callers, you get those tickets. Next week on our program, Jimmy O. Yang, who you may know from Silicon Valley and Crazy Rich Asians, will be in our studio. Vanessa Bayer from SNL is getting in touch with us.
Love her.
And we're going to talk to Bert Kreischer and see how Bert's doing. He had blown out a blood vessel in his eyeball last time.
He looked like Dracula.
Yeah. So we'll have those guests and more next week. That is it. We are done. Rage on and have a great weekend, gang. We'll see you later.
With Preston and Steve. Love you. Hate you. Live.
You know why birds are so dirty? They're dirty because they eat with their peckers.
Next message.
This message is for Casey. Snakes!
Next message.
You know what I love when you're in a customer service position and they go up and they're really pissed off and they're complaining. They go, I know it's not your fault. I don't give a f***. Don't talk to me.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.